いらっしゃいませ。This is JJ, host of 8-4 Play. Oh, wait.
いらっしゃい。
Welcome
to the next 8-4 Play podcast. I am your host.
You're a bunch of bullies.
Mark, Gaming Jesus McDonald. With me, we are one woman down, but four strong still.
Are we four women?
We're one woman down.
And four
comma.
Strong.
But still four strong.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Are we not men, JJ Chim Chim Epperson?
Chim Chim, Chim Chim.
Sounds like a monkey's name. What's
yeah,
that?
That's very monkey sound.
Yeah.
You were such a fucking fan of Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Speed Racer the movie.
Is he not in the movie?
He is kind of in the movie, I believe.
How could he not be
I can't
movie?
Remember, but he's not like a
great
part.
Movie.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
And yet you can't remember the characters.
No, Chim Chim is in it.
He's
yes.
not hiding in the trunk.
He is hiding in the trunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Along with Squirtle or yeah. whatever.
It's definitely not Squirtle.
What the fuck was his name? You guys, how do you guys even know what Speed Racer is?
It was on TV when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Nickelodeon. Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't like Speed Racer The Next Generation.
Or no, it
was
They did have
was
that eventually.
Speed
but
Racer The College Years.
Yeah.
It was Cartoon Network. That's what it was.
They okay. had, that was when they had the new one. But yeah.
So you guys know all about the...
he's running into the... thing and he's gonna run into it because he's going too fast.
Yeah. Well, that's the art of dubbing, as yeah. we know.
That guy went on to be an auction master.
That's right, the Micro Machines guy, actually. All right, who else do we have here? So Hiroko Ryo Minamoto
Ryo.
Is sitting
yeah,
this
Ryo.
Out. So why don't you sing a little bit of?
No.
Do you know the song?
I do.
You do?
I do. I have
it
on my iPod. It is a song sung by Duran Duran in yeah. the video. They're like going around on like a boat.
I can't sing it. All right.
Yeah.
So, yes, too busy with.
I'd rather not torture the people.
Work, but yeah, maybe that's for the best.
Yeah.
Someone with no such reservations across from you is Brendan the Golden Pritchard.
That's it. That's all
it.
You could think of.
Still playing Persona 4.
Still playing Persona 4.
Well, a lot more people are interested in it now because people are playing it across
Everyone's playing it now.
The pond. And it's
right.
getting, yes, pretty good reviews.
Yep.
One Mr. P. Kolar.
Mm-hmm. Who looks like my brother, by the way.
Oh, really?
I would like to drop that there.
All right.
Yeah.
Switched at birth, perhaps.
Would yeah. your brother give Persona 4 the golden 10 out of 10?
He might.
Really?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good story.
Is your brother a game?
Good game.
He was. He doesn't really play games anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah. TMI.
So
it's a fantastic game, yeah.
Still chudging through? Like, yeah. How far are you into it?
I'm still not that far. Maybe a third of the way through, but I put it on the harder difficulty level, and I'm kind of regretting that because a lot of people are saying the first time you play through it, you kind of want it to be on the easy difficulty level.
Why would you do that?
You can't switch it back?
Not during the gameplay, you can't.
Would you
because
really
the game is hard.
would you really play through it more than once?
Yes. To get all of the Persona links and everything, to see the whole story, you have to.
I'm impressed. I don't know. After you guys did Baby Mode and Fire Emblem, I didn't know if you could take those kind of challenges. I'm pleasantly surprised.
I will openly admit that I'm not very good at strategy RPGs, but traditional RPGs, I'm willing to go the extra mile. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would be your advice to first time, maybe people just entering the Persona 4 world, wondering... after an hour into the game when it's actually going to get started. What would your advice be?
That is a reasonable comment. Like an hour or two into the game is finally when the game starts to get going. Up until that point, you're sort of handheld through the plot. But basically my advice would be not to worry too much about your day-to-day decisions. Because mm-hmm. that's a problem I always have when I started both Persona 3 and Persona 4. It's like, oh God, I have this limited amount of time. I could do this, 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 and this. What do I do? What do I do?
Right.
What do I do? And
run
then
to
I,
the FAQ.
Right. And then I get so overwhelmed that I'd like not play for a while.
Right.
In fact, just keep going.
Just trudge through it. And
make a decision and don't worry about it. And mm-hmm. if you think afterward it was the wrong decision, well, too bad. Just keep going.
You don't. People shouldn't be like starting off with a strategy guide or a FAQ and reading ahead to really enjoy it.
Unless,
you're not going to be pissed.
Unless you're one of those players that absolutely has to play the game perfectly
the first time through. Yeah.
Then definitely don't.
You'll be
you won't enjoy it if you do it that way.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
more
yeah.
fun because there's no way to see everything in one playthrough anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't waste your time worrying about whether you're making the right decision or you're becoming friends with the right person at the right part of the game. Just do what you know,
do what feels good.
Do what feels good. Literally, you have so many options that you can't make a wrong one. So just go like, today I kind of want to talk to this person, or I kind of want to do this.
Well, that is how our final panelist lives his life. That's his philosophy.
Yep.
That's John. I couldn't decide between. Well, we'll just go with Rusi Rawrus, Ricciardi.
Okay.
It was gonna be Warrior Princess. But
what was the one you have scratched out there?
That's Prince Charming.
Oh.
Because I thought it was funny that you saw like a Snow White movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't bad.
Like, how many movies have you seen in the last like 2 months?
Not
since
many.
We've been crunching?
Not many.
Like one.
Probably. Yeah, maybe one.
And it was.
I just went on Apple TV the other night and was looking around for something to watch, and it landed on that. It was either that or it was going to be Ted. And I want to watch Ted too, but Ted was kind of long.
Not
so
bad, but it's not great.
Yeah,
either it has moments like kind of like Family Guy, like an hour and a half long Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it has to be a movie and has to do the movie arc thing,
right,
it gets pretty shit actually. Yeah. But you should have watched the old Shutter Island.
I will watch Shutter Island. You mentioned that before.
Yeah,
for reasons we probably can't get into.
So yes, what have you been up to besides
work? Finishing Project X.
That's right.
Woo.
Yay.
Yes.
Free at last.
Thank God.
My first week of like not working on a weekend in months.
Project X is dead. Long live Project X.
That's right.
Yes.
Basically playing games, playing my new Wii U.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing Animal Crossing every day.
Still playing Animal Crossing.
Still playing it. It's slowing down a little bit.
Give us an update of a quick one. What's going on in Animal Crossing lands?
I'm actually done.
Really?
Yeah.
Done. Like, yeah. Completely
you
done.
It?
You're not playing anymore.
Not yet, but I'm going to soon.
Really?
Jeez.
Because
so
right now, that game is fucking hot shit. Nobody can find it. I'm going to get a lot of money for that.
Yeah. Did we talk about this last time, or did it happen in between where there is a shortage?
I think it happened the morning of the podcast.
Isn't like
the
shortage over now, though? About it.
I don't think so.
They said it was going to be months.
Yeah.
Mm. It's months. I was like, what the? Is
how?
This for
why?
Sure legit months? So Animal Crossing uses for the 3DS, the new one, New Leaf, which is not out in America yet.
Yep.
And this kind of begs a question about that, but maybe we can talk about that later. Mm. So there was a special,
is it MMC3 chip?
Exactly.
Well, close to
that sort of thing.
Old Super Mario 2, Zelda 2 shortage
syndrome
thing going on. Like, so it uses a special cartridge that I guess has more RAM in it than your typical cartridge.
I have no idea.
Whatever.
Actually.
But there was a special message from
a seven-minute video where Iwata's like, sorry. And this is why.
Talked about why.
Really?
What
he explained
the shortage
that
was. Yeah.
Oh, man, I missed that. I bummed I missed it.
And there was an announcement on the website separately. But apparently, as part of that message, he said that it was, you know, stressing, yeah, it's still available to buy and you can download it. But it's actually going to be months.
Wait, how could the cartridge
the shortage
have anything special on it if you could download it? There wouldn't be. You can't download like RAM
John
or chips. What?
Yeah,
I'm serious.
You mean you're saying if? But the cartridge is not going to use. The cartridge can't use more memory than I mean, the download game's not going to use more memory. I mean, I guess they could like rejigger it to do that or something like that, to just print it on a normal cartridge and then reuse the memory that a download game would use for the save game. It needs more space to save all the shit that's going on, right?
Uh-huh. Is
and
that
you're
what
saying,
it is?
Yeah.
So you're just saying it's just the size of the cartridge issue. It's not like they have a special chip or extra memory or something.
No, it is a specific. My understanding of it is that it is a different than standard cartridge, and the difference is the amount of memory, the onboard memory.
Save memory.
Yeah.
So it's just using up more.
Sure. Huh. Why not?
I see.
But whatever that is, there's more of that. And so because of that, it's proprietary and they can't just swap in, oh, hey, let's just take these things that we were going to use for.
I see. So it's not like they added
slap
something
it on
to
there.
It.
Yeah,
it's not like that would be impossible.
Right.
You can't like download
it's not. It's not like they're not adding like the extra chip to give it better music or something.
An FX chip or anything.
Right, right.
I see.
Yeah,
though it would be cool if they did that.
It would be.
Yeah.
But then you couldn't
beat
download
those
it.
Pirates.
So
I had the club open up in my town recently.
Oh, nice.
And it's awesome. Like that, we talked about it briefly last time, but now that I've actually started going to the club, because what's his name? KK Slider.
Like a dance club? Like it's like disco a,
yes.
tech?
Yes. It's a club club. Like on Saturday nights, KK Slider does like an acoustic performance or whatever, like he always did. But on the other nights, every night he's DJing like until like the late hours of the night. And there's really? Like there's a visuals behind him, like live visuals, and there's like, you know, smoke comes out of the side every now and then, and like the lights go down, and he plays like 40 something minutes of like original music. Like it's constantly changing.
No, it's not repeating?
Not for at least 40 minutes, because I listened to it for like 40 minutes.
It's amazing.
And it's good. And the little and
what kind of music?
Like club music, you know, like really? Dance music, yeah.
They remix like the secret Totaka theme or not Totaka.
Totakeke
theme and your town theme and
okay.
So every now and then,
Crossing music.
Every now and then, the visuals will have like your guy, your actual character, and like the town flag in the background and stuff. But like, basically, the really cool thing about it.
That's pretty cool.
All the animals grease up their hair. They get hands.
Are all the animals in?
I've only ever seen one other person in the club besides the two. Like the owner is the owner's always there, and then like I've seen one other animal there because I always go at, like 2 a.m.
But when everyone should be there, right?
You would think. Maybe on the weekends it's more busy. I don't know. But the really amazing thing is they put so much detail into this. Like, if you actually watch him up on the stage, he moves his hands and, like, will, like, move the record, like, when the music changes. Or, like, he messes with the dials on his little, like, equalizer. Like, like the way a real DJ would. I'm not even kidding.
That's actually
like,
online
really awesome.
Functionality. That's actually someone at Nintendo headquarters. Right.
He's wired up.
Controlling that. That's right. Yeah, they have a ping pong ball.
A few people at some desks.
It's really, really cool.
They're trapped in there. They will never escape.
And when you're in the club, but only when you're in the club, your character automatically is, like, bopping his head to the beat. And, like, you can hit the D-pad in any four direction to do different dances. It's really awesome. And really cool.
I had fun just sitting there combining the dances.
Yeah.
Like, that needs its own game, I think. It's like an eShop mini game.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, you really can't do anything. But
I had my first big snowfall this week. What else is going on? That's more or less not a whole lot. It is starting to get into like that sort of okay, now it's just like a daily thing. Like there's not like anything really crazy happening lately, but I'm not ready to put it down yet. There's still it's still pretty cool.
I get tired of those things fast, so.
So when you're going to sell it, JJ, and for fun and profit.
Yep.
And then will you rebuy it? Or are you just...
No, I'll probably just like move on to something else, like Nintendo Land or something.
Interesting. Yeah. So speaking of which, did you get a chance to play at all?
I got it home and took it out, and then I think I fell asleep.
You know, I don't know why, but I was under the... Somehow, I know when the announcements happened, I was very clear on, okay, here's what you're going to be getting here in Japan and not in America. And we're not getting Nintendo Land and whatever.
You mean as a pack-in?
As a pack-in.
Right.
But still, for some reason, when I went to pick up my Wii U, I was expecting Nintendo Land to be in it. I don't know, like a week beforehand, I just started thinking that it was going to be in there again. And
I'm actually kind of kicking myself for not getting it and getting Mario instead of it, because I'm enjoying Mario, but it's kind
of it doesn't really show off the system.
I want something to show off the system. Mario does it more than Monster Hunter does, and we'll get to that later, I guess,
right?
But Nintendo Land really is kind of like I want to see everything in Mario.
Yeah, that's the game to sort of really use all the different functions.
Mario is still very much Mario with some Wii U.
Mario is a pretty cool example of Miiverse, though, like a good way to get introduced to how insanely awesome Miiverse is. Miiverse is like the best thing about the system.
Yeah, can we talk about Miiverse for a second?
Because
I got this phenomenon now that I've played. You know, I have one game that like totally blows out the Miiverse stuff, and then
which is Mario,
and then one that absolutely does not use it at all in Monster Hunter. And I'm like, from now on, if a game doesn't have good Miiverse implementation, I don't think I'll buy it. Because it's just, it's so cool being like wired in and being able to see other people's comments and like all the cool ass drawings. Like,
there's really some amazing drawings on there.
The Japanese Miiverse,
yes.
In terms of the art quality, is, I mean, there's great stuff everywhere, but stuff on every single thing that you walk up to, even in like Zombie U, some of the less popular games, you look at every single drawing, they're fucking amazing.
I just sit there in the Wada Wada Plaza and just look at stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. And then I, you know, I do my Sodane my like yeah or whatever, and then sometimes
is that what
they're
it
really
is in
good.
Japanese? Sodane,
yeah, yeah. Really? Which really? Is weird and doesn't really make sense. Like sodane means like yeah, that's right.
That's very strange.
Which is weird to
it,
say
it
to a
has
picture.
No meaning, yeah,
yeah. yeah. But it's cool because like you know if an artist is particularly good, I'll follow them and stuff like that, and I can always look at my feed to see what you know new stuff and. And
I really love it. The other day I was so the other day I tested out playing from the bathroom because I was playing Mario. I had to go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom. And actually, you know, the way my apartment is set up, I didn't think it was going to work. It's not like the bathroom is far from the living room, but there's like two walls.
Yeah,
there's a whole room between them, and these, you know, that's where the problems are supposed to happen with the walls.
Right.
But it ran perfectly, so I was really happy.
Japan walls.
And I beat a. I know Japan. Yep. We don't have insulation, and finally, it's helping us. But I wrote a little thing on my Miiverse because I beat a Mario level while I was in the bathroom. And I drew like a little toilet or something. And I was like, you know, long range win or something. And I got a bunch of replies and yes. And people were like drawing responses to my drawing.
Right.
And it's awesome. It's like super
it is awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
And another thing is like in Mario, you can attach screenshots and stuff like that. And Monster Hunter needs
wait, you can
that.
Attach screenshots in Mario?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
And like I think it's for the Odai mode. What is that in English?
You can't do that in any game.
You
can't do that in certain.
Well,
games?
It has like, to be. It has to have the Miiverse stuff in it.
Yeah, it has to have the take a screenshot.
Yeah,
sure. I thought that was an OS level thing. I haven't messed with it enough. Yeah, yeah.
I don't
but
even
Monster
know
Hunter
do that.
Doesn't have that, and that game would be like that game
no,
demands a
it's
screenshot
made for
feature.
It. Like look at my armor. Like look at my
yeah,
set.
Exactly.
Look at the new weapon I got.
Look
at
you know,
me triumphant on this dead.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
for, showing for your time.
Thing. Yeah, totally.
Can you draw on the screenshots? Because that would be awesome too.
I don't think so.
Not as far
I haven't
as
seen
I
any.
That
would
like something they would add in the future. I hope so.
But I know, like,
you can do it with swap notes, sort of. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think in the future, I hope they add like animated drawings, like in swap note. And
that's kind of what Miiverse feels like. It feels like the evolution of swap note. I was telling
totally.
You
definitely.
The other day, it's like, yeah,
that's definitely has something to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people like downplay it, like, oh, whatever, post-it notes or, you know, certain unnamed friends, former friends of the podcast. But it is like that is a big feature, actually.
Yeah.
It turns into something really cool. It's something charming. And more than that, it's something new. Like it's something
yeah.
that hasn't been offered before. And people are really responding to it, not
yeah.
just us. I do think it is telling about the launch lineup, just like it was with the 3DS, that we're mostly talking about and most excited about the,
yeah system features
system
right.
features.
Well, and I think the fact that none of us really have played Nintendo Land may like
so
you know,
that's true
change
and,
that.
And I haven't to be honest I haven't given Mario a shot. I got a lot of feedback last time after saying I wasn't expecting too much from it from people saying really you need to give it a shot, and there are those people still saying that it's like the best one since Mario World, better than Yoshi's Island, blah blah blah, but we'll see about that. You played it some.
It's
right?
really good. Yeah, I'm probably like halfway through it now, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Maybe or maybe like two-fifths of the way through. Yeah, I'm in like the fourth world now, I think.
Okay, so
it's I love it. I think it's really really good.
Really?
Like yeah, it just it's like I said some of this last time too, but the thing I like the most about it is the controls. It just feels really good. Like the squirrel suit has its own kind of set of physics, and then when you're not using that, like you've got when you're carrying like the different baby Yoshis around, you can hit the ZR button and they do different things. Like one of them floats you up in the air, and one of them, I forget what the other things they do.
They
do like these
up.
Different things that help you, yeah, light up. They help you through the levels. Everything just feels so good. It just really, the levels are also like big. And one thing I notice about this game is I get the time running out thing way more than I have in recent Mario games, because I'm like constantly like looking around or being challenged in levels, which is awesome. Like it makes it kind of brings back that pressure feeling that was really cool about Mario games back in the day too.
Mm. Yeah, actually, when I played the first level on your Wii U, I was playing through the level and I got to the halfway flag and I thought that was the end of the level.
Right.
And I was like, because it was the size of a normal Mario level, and I was like, wait, I don't have all my coins yet. And I went back and looked around for a while before I realized, wait, no, that's only the halfway point. And
have you done the buddy mode?
No, I haven't. I've watched people do it. I watched like the giant bomb thing.
I have.
It looks fun.
It is fun. It's fun, and it will cause a lot of fights. Like
where you're placing platforms.
I'm placing platforms. Like
on the gamepad, and other people are using Wii controllers.
Can you do that in the normal game, or is that like a special? Like
you can do it in the normal.
So
game.
You can have somebody help you basically get hard to reach coins and stuff
exactly.
just by using that mode.
So I was playing. I was you know for my first time I was playing it, and my wife was watching me, and she was just heckling me the whole time. She's like, "You suck. Why did you die there?"
Wait, who was holding the gamepad and who was holding the Wii controller?
Oh, at that point, it was just me.
Oh.
I was only playing by myself.
Oh, all right.
And she's like, "You suck, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "All right, you play, and I'll just back you up, okay?" Because, you know, whatever. I'm I know she's not that great at games. And she starts playing. She's like dying all over the place. And I'm trying to help her. I'm trying my damnedest to help this woman. And she keeps dying. And she's just like, this is all your fault. And I'm like, no. But then there were times where we were in sync and we could get like, you know, things done really well and just, you know.
How was that?
Like say there was a
how was that? Was that
oh it was
amazing?
Fun.
Was it like holy shit, this is, I mean that's not like the first thing you
it
said.
It wasn't like a holy shit thing. But it was fun and it was nice, like you know, the Mario Galaxy games, they had like the daddy and child mode or whatever, and it's much more involved than that. It was fun, but this is much more involved, and you know, you can get really good at it, and when you get really good at it, it's really fun.
All
right. I really like it. I think I might have said this last time too, but I'm almost playing exclusively on the gamepad. I just come home, like get on the couch, like, and just pop the game on and start playing, and it's like really fun.
I still think that's really interesting. I would love to see kind of statistics by game, how long people are looking at the little screen and how long, or what percentage people are playing just on the little screen and what percentage they're just looking at the little screen as opposed to the big screen. I think that's really interesting.
I think I would probably not want to play Monster Hunter on the little screen though.
So I would like the option. I would like the option.
Yes. So why don't we start talking about Monster Hunter?
Okay.
Because I think that's the game that we've all probably played most in the last week. Even though despite the fact that I feel like I haven't played that much, like my game clock's already at 10 hours, which for almost any other game would be probably about what I would put into it total. Yeah, right. And I've like really
barely scratched the surface.
I just like got my first weapon literally like right before I quit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was playing in a weird way, but yeah, one thing I did notice is just, man, how much time commitment that game is again. Yeah. Like having not played it again in a while, like that thing takes a bunch of hours, but I'm back into it. I mean, I'm looking forward to like when we get to play.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, back in the saddle.
But you guys got to do your, it's like homework though. You got to do your offline stuff too and like build up your, because otherwise it gets hard for you to play.
That's what I was doing yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm sacrificing a lot of progress in hopes of getting you guys up to catch up. But there's so much I've done that I, even if you get to the same HR as me, you're still way behind because there's so much that I've done offline. As far as like, you know, I have tons of materials. I have tons of like potions and all this other stuff. I've got like 7 different good hammers. Like I got a variety for like every situation. So it's not just getting your rank up. It's like spending that time to really like get your characters ready to go.
Yeah. So we should explain. So, you know, this being the Wii U version of Monster Hunter Tri-G.
Or 3G, I guess.
The 3DS game, basically, like the up-resed full console version of it, and being compatible with the 3DS game. John, you played the 3DS game the most, and so you still had your character, which you transferred over.
I transferred over, yeah. I was at I had about 100 hours or so put into the 3DS one.
I did mine as well. I didn't have that many hours. But
so you ended up finding yours.
I did find mine, yeah. Okay.
I thought you started from the beginning, because I started back from the beginning.
I actually did, and then I was looking for something else because we were going to sell some games. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Didn't I sell this? But yeah. I guess I was holding on to it for this, so...
So
you download a little app from the 3DS eShop first, right, which lets you, it's a transfer app, and then you boot up the Wii game. First of all, there was a patch day one. You get the patch.
Right.
Every game, it seems like, has a patch day one.
Once the patch is down, then you can use that little app to basically transfer your save data over to the Wii U. It was super painless. It was way, not that this is going to matter to anybody, but like for as someone who played the PlayStation version of this, which was portable third, also had an HD version on PS3.
Right.
This was a billion times easier. Like it's kind of like a prime example of like Sony and Nintendo's approach to making things easy for gamers.
A couple button presses.
It was super easy, and you can send it back too super easily. So you can actually, you know, when you're done playing on the Wii, you just throw it back in your 3DS and continue. I'm never going to do that, but you can do that.
I would love to, and maybe it's going to take, if they ever do Monster Hunter 4 is coming out here early next year, if they ever do like a Wii U version of 4.
Yeah,
it would be awesome. What I want is I want the iCloud version of that, where you just set it up where it's just,
that's how it really should be.
As long as your system has Wi-Fi on, it's automatically syncing.
That's actually a really good idea. That's how it should be. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but I mean, they've even come a long way since the PlayStation 1 because it's so much easier now.
Well, needless to say, playing online is a lot easier than it was in the PS3 HD version, which was never really made for that. It was like a workaround. It's a tacked on workaround that uses ad hoc party
in order to that I can actually online. Play with everybody I know now as opposed to like some people I couldn't
which is bizarre that that's still like a novelty. I mean, you know, Tri had online play, but it had its challenges,
but it was never that bad. The PS3 one was like this doesn't work
so we've been playing online, which is really how that game it is a multiplayer game at its heart, so
it's so much better. I mean, I like the offline game and everything, but it's just so much better and more fulfilling and rewarding to play online with real people.
God,
it feels good. And the interface this time too, so like it is a lot better than the PlayStation one, but it's still kind of weird. It's still like there are still like distinctly like I don't want to like call them Japanese points, but they kind of are. They're like those things that make you scratch your head at the design decisions. Like you can't look at your friend. Let's say you're going online. You have to first talk to the guy and enable the network mode,
right?
Which defaults to no, which is weird. So like you turn it to yes.
Why does that every time?
I have no idea. Then you go online and like you have to pick a room. You have to pick a type of lobby, like, you know, beginner or advanced or high rank, whatever, and then pick a room. Then you get to the menu where you can look up your friends and just jump to them, which is ass backwards. Like that should be the first thing you do. Is just pick your. I don't need to go into a room. I just want to find my friends and jump to them.
Right, or even just totally to backwards. Not even be. You know, go to the cat, just be like, are any of my guys online for me to even go to the online section of the game? Do I want to bother? But okay, so this game was not designed from the start, it's dealing with legacy issues. So this is a G version of
you gotta think of it as a 3DS game that's being like basically run on Wii U.
Exactly,
that was originally a Wii game, even. So,
and it's this, the same thing with the graphics. You know, if you come at this as a ground up. Originally built game. I mean, parts of it look okay. Parts of it look pretty bad. If you are coming at it from this is a next gen title, you
know,
like certain textures and things like that. The design overall is amazing. It's very colorful. Great design. Monster Hunter has always had
amazing
art direction.
The lighting
also is really great, especially at nighttime. Some of the lighting on the monsters, I guess because the low polyness of it, they can kind of afford to spend the horsepower on the lighting, and sometimes it could just look really, really good.
And they put in some bells and whistles, like reflections of most
the water
things
looks really good
in the water. I mean, like it'll be puddles
comparatively,
and you'll see the sky, and it's like holy shit. It does make you think, like, man, I really like a full HD game.
It looks a lot better. I should say a lot better, but I think it definitely looks a step above the Wii version in most areas. Like, one thing is the monsters are like...
Wii version will...
I mean, the PS3 version.
I'm talking about the Wii version. I mean, it's not that much better than the Wii version. I mean, it's HD, obviously, but I mean, like, texture-wise and everything else, the Wii game looked really damn good for, like, a low-res game.
Well, compare it to...
I think you're crazy, man.
Compare it
to... That game had, like, Vaseline filter.
No, but I mean, for example, the Wii monsters are higher poly than these monsters. Like, the Wii monsters actually have more animation and more polygons.
I guess they would be.
But
makes sense.
The textures are amazing on especially on the monsters. The textures on the monsters, I think, look really freaking good.
Some
like,
the
monsters
textures,
look super
it's
colorful.
Weird.
Parts
of the skybox are, like, really amazing and super high res and look great. Like, occasionally, you know, you'll see a rock or a ground texture that's like, wow, that looks fantastic.
Right.
But then at the same time, you'll see a chest that looks like... The texture almost hasn't even loaded yet. It's just like, what is that? It looks like a child's like finger painting drawing, like for the texture. It's really bad. But what I'm interested in, John, compare what's the name of the PS3 HD game?
It's Monster Hunter Portable Third HD.
Compare that to this.
This looks a lot better than that. I mean, that don't get me wrong. That looked pretty good too. Like, but all that was like someone flicked a switch and turned it up res. So like some of it turned out good.
Right.
Some of it is god awful. Like all the menus and everything in that one were not turned to HD. So they're just imagine like PSP level visuals blown up to like 1080p. It just looks like garbage.
It's painful.
Yeah. This game, they redid all the menus. There's nothing in this game that looks. To that level, like low res, like some of it just doesn't look that good, but it's all like legit high res. Like it looks really good in that sense.
Right. So yeah, so I'm loving, you know, the core Monster Hunter gameplay loop, just to doing that over again. You know, all of the armor, all of the enemies, the animations, the boss fights, that sort of stuff. all super awesome. I don't want to like sell that out and just concentrate on the like the,
sure.
the niggling things to complain about.
Totally, yeah.
But
it's also super smooth. Like the online play has been great. Like I haven't had a single hiccup or lag or anything. It's,
yeah.
And the game's running at like basically 60 frames almost all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it stutters.
It does.
But like for the most part, it's really really smooth.
Yeah, I haven't had many problems at all. Things that I'm hopeful for. In the U.S. release, like things I would like to see fixed by the U.S. release. Well, actually, I guess it's just one thing is voice chat.
Oh, God, I know. Yeah.
The lack of voice chat really surprised
me. Well, also keyboard support, please. I mean, I prefer to just use voice chat all the time, but they don't have keyboard support in the Japanese version. They have like a what do you call that? Like a virtual keyboard on your gamepad that you can do.
Yeah.
Which is better
you
than...
You can't plug in a USB keyboard.
It's better than having it on your TV, like on the Wii version. I mean, I'm not... I don't want to make excuses because not having keyboard support is like, well, that should have been the first thing. But
Because when you're in the middle of a fight, you can't afford to stop and like pull out the stylus and try to type on a gamepad.
I use my fingers, but still like it's I don't know if it's not responsive enough or like it just like takes too long
the Wii
for each
screen is a little weird when you're using your fingers.
Yeah, well,
That's why I think like, that's why I said pull out the stylus. I think it's actually the Wii. That's a problem with the Wii U pad and the 3DS in general. But like using your finger doesn't always give you like instant feedback you want.
Really? Because it's weird. But
have you ever tried to hit the back button on anything on the Wii U? Like sometimes you have to hit it 3 or 4 times before it registers.
I've noticed you have to like if you push and hold, it works better.
Right. Well, that's
you
what it's
hold
made
it for. Like a second.
It's kind of weird.
So how are you guys talking to each other when you're
Skype? We just get on Skype.
Skype. Yeah. So it's the same. Resorting back to that. Yeah. Which is sad. I want to see them really resolve that.
I hope they do. I mean, I hope there's going to be a patch or something that like updates.
They gotta do that.
One other kind of disappointing thing: 4-person lobbies.
That's not going to change, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I'm done with the things. I hope that in time for the U.S. release. 4-person lobbies. The menus have not been redesigned from the ground up. I feel like for the Wii U controller, a lot of times the screen on the gamepad is being wasted.
It's always being wasted.
Well, not always, but it could be being used for so many other things. I mean, you can shortcut to your actions, which is cool. You can customize it.
My touchscreen right now has absolutely nothing on it.
Well, but I mean, you could. It does have.
I put the signals on there because I find it easier to just hit the touchscreen when I want a signal. Like, okay, the monster's in this area. I just touch it.
So I'm hoping that's something they're going to learn from that was like rushed out or something in time for 4 or whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do, especially with when you're buying equipment in that game. There is so many charts and graphs and things like that. Like, I mean, anybody's just seeing that is going to be like, what are you doing? Like, it's like you're doing your taxes or something. You're like comparing skill levels and doing all different kinds of things. There's like 6 different screens sometimes you need to look at before you decide to buy something.
I have my wife on iPad duty. She looks at the weapon charts and be like, yeah, if you buy that one, you get this, this, and this.
I got to say, that is the kind of game where I almost always have my laptop with the wiki open because I'm like, okay, we're going to fight, you know, we're going to fight Zinogre. Right. Let's find out what he's weak to and what weapon is best. Like, I always have that like as a supplementary thing
but
on the side. This game was made for smart glass.
But it really was for it to be your Wii U gamepad.
Totally.
Exactly. Doing that stuff. So...
If Capcom were really
them,
smart, they would actually make it so that the gamepad actually offered that kind of information. Like,
no,
you didn't charge extra for it or whatever.
There's no reason not to.
I feel like a lot of this stuff is probably not in there. There's probably stuff that they wanted to put in there, but because this is a 3DS game, it's like they couldn't change it.
Well, sure,
it
and they made, come on, give them credit. They made launch, too. I mean, that's in Japan,
totally
anyway.
True.
That's like not an easy thing to do.
And I will say that has become, it's kind of like a launch game with an asterisk, kind of like Zelda was with the Wii, but I was like, you know, that was the game that I was like, okay, I'm going to be using this new system that I have. Monster Hunter is that game. My U.S. system hasn't been touched yet, although we got games from Nintendo. Thank you, Nintendo.
Yes.
Just the other day, so we're going to be trying those out just in time for like 1-month-old impressions after every other podcast. Yes.
Right.
And now that they're all playing Far Cry 3, we're talking about Monster Hunter 3.
Yeah. But one other thing too, I want to talk about is, I'm feeling slightly, because when I brought up this argument with you guys, you were like, whatever. But like, I'm happy to see like a lot of people in Japan are actually complaining about the same thing. That Pro Controller, the button, I didn't think so at E3, but now I totally think so. The setup of the Wii U Pro Controller buttons is just bad. Like the classic controller on the Wii, the sticks are down on the bottom the way DualShock is, which makes a lot of sense. You know, you can easily move your thumb up to the buttons and be controlling the stick at the same time. On the Wii U pad, the sticks are on top and the buttons are sort of in a little bit. So there's like a stretch from your from the stick to the buttons, which is when you're playing a game like Monster Hunter, you want easy, quick access between them. I found it to be a problem, so I actually hooked up the Wii One's Classic Controller Pro, and that's what I'm playing Monster Hunter with.
So that surprises me. I'm fine with the gamepad.
Yeah, the gamepad's great.
As having gotten the deluxe system, ours came with the... With the Pro Controller, but I haven't. I hooked it up and charged it just to see what it felt like. But
I would say if you get a chance, try it. Try the Classic Controller Pro and see, because to me it's the same thing as like on the PSP. I think really hardcore players will say the claw is actually the best way to play because you free up a finger. You're controlling your camera and moving at the same time. It's a similar thing on this. Like you can do more with less with the Classic Controller Pro.
Gamepad. I've had no problems with the gamepad. Use the gamepad.
Yeah, I feel I don't know.
Says the guy who used to play with the Wii Remote, too.
Dude, The Wii Remote is how the pros play. Come on, back me up. Tim about to back me up, man.
How the pros play. Oh, my God.
Howard Phillips over here.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, anything else to talk about in terms of Monster Hunter before we...
I don't think so. I'm really, really pretty satisfied with it so far. I'm really looking forward to getting into it more.
I just am bummed about the lack of Miiverse.
Yeah, I mean, there is a Miiverse community for it, but it's just not connected to the game.
And some of the art in there is so awesome. Miiverse. So
I do, like, I want this, I kind of keep waiting for the game to be like, okay, all my Western friends, like, this is going to be the one to sort of teach them Monster Hunter, show them, like, the beauty of Monster Hunter.
I don't think this will be it.
I'm not sure if this is it or not. I mean, this is definitely more the most... friendly game to date.
Actually, I don't think so. The reason why is because the online mode, and this is like really like getting deep in there, the online mode starts you off with some pretty difficult quests. So if someone gets that game, and I think a lot of Westerners are going to be like, oh, get on the first day, get on with my friends, that's and let's true. Play Most online.
Westerners do online play first.
And they're going to be like, fuck, this is hard. Because it's going to
be
hard.
That way anyway. I just mean, like, in terms of...
Does the game let you get online instantly? I guess you don't have to do any village stuff at all.
You can get on immediately, I was very happy to find that.
The village stuff, they ease you in pretty nicely.
That's good advice. If you are playing for the first time, play offline for 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. Do some of the village stuff and just get kind of used to how the game works before you attempt to go online.
Get a weapon.
Before the U.S. version comes out, we will do like a here's what you should do kind of thing. Like, let's not give people advice like 4 months before they're going to play it. Oh, yeah. Wait, I think JJ said to get a weapon or something.
Yeah, we'll do something in March, I guess.
Yeah. We'll do something. And there's always Roy Blakely's Monster Hunter Beginner Guide.
If we live to March.
If we...
What is that supposed to mean?
Because the
2012. Oh, right. Tired.
The other thing, too, is like, part of me is like, oh, I want the US version to come out. We'll start over. We'll play with the fans. We'll play with the people.
Yeah,
we might do that for like a week. But then Monster Hunter 4 comes out in Japan. And I hate to say it, but I'm never playing Monster Hunter 3 again when that comes out. I'm going to be Monster Hunter 4 all the way.
That is
going
to be a weird timing because I do really want to play with a lot of the listeners.
I don't. I want to play Monster Hunter 4 with a lot of listeners.
And I want to play that too. So there's room for both.
I'm sure 4, I mean, I doubt 4 would come to the West anytime soon if 3 is coming out. Like, right. I mean, it would be at least a year before the because it'd be stupid to put it out right away.
Well, there's importers out there. Our listeners are hardcore enough.
Nature finds a way. And so will we when we come back for the news. Talking about, VGAs and what's not.
Yes.
So
Boogers.
Stick around. All right, and we are back to talk about something that nobody's talking about enough. Nobody on Twitter mentioned this at all.
It's the VGAs.
The VGAs. You guys watch it? Everybody watch it?
I
watched the whole thing.
I watched the red carpet thing and then like the first 20 minutes. Then my Wii update finished.
Oh, really? And you were like, that's it?
Yeah.
So I mean,
wait. So you didn't watch any of the like the big announcements, like live or anything?
I watched the Phantom Pain. I didn't get to see Dark Souls till after.
Oh man.
The general consensus has been that it's gotten so much better and they fixed it and blah blah blah. To me, it seemed like the same thing. It was just the games that won the awards were better chosen.
It's not the same thing though, dude. There was nobody like coming out doing like what do you call it, nutsack thing. What is that when I can't believe I can't, you know.
Yeah, the squatting
thing. Why are we forgetting what that's called?
Yeah.
What?
You know what I'm talking about in Halo when you go up in somebody
teabagging.
Nobody was teabagging or any of that. That
John,
was
Jessica Alba.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Jessica Alba?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I believe
introduced
it was,
Dark Souls 2.
So what? There's nothing wrong with that. You don't like looking at Jessica Alba?
I'm saying this is the same exact thing as it's been. It's the same exact thing that it's been, except the trailer was Dark Souls 2 instead of like Splinter Cell.
The problem wasn't
Redemption
the problem was never having like famous people on it or whatever. The problem was them treating us like idiots and like, you know, acting like gaming was something for shitheads and nerds. And like that was toned down a lot this year. Like there was really first of all, I only watched the main show. I didn't watch the red carpet crap.
I only
before.
Watched the main show.
Yeah. The main show, there was nothing in there that
the red carpet
me.
Was pretty
nothing.
Bad.
The guy who started off Hello Nerds.
Yes, that's his thing. Zack Snyder, I think that was actually. Yeah. Yeah. That is like the one thing that was like slightly annoying. But he's actually I've met him and talked to him at E3. He's like super nice guy, like actually. So that was kind of weird to me. But
I just fine. I'm not it's like it's becoming this thing where it's like I'm disparaging it or not. I just felt like it was not different. It was just that the games that won awards were better, and there was more of an emphasis, and there were bigger reveals of the trailer thing. It's become a let's watch the big new trailer thing, which I'm actually fine with. I actually like that. And everybody's on Twitter at the same time. It's like another E3 press conference, basically.
Right.
It's like a third party E3 press conference.
But I mean, from a big picture point of view, though, I think the big problem with this show has always been that it's been insulting, and like the fact that
it's also been that it's like filled with Hollywood douchebags, and there's not a
that
not an
it,
emphasis
that
on
in itself
awards.
Is insulting though, like none of that.
Right. But it's still there. They're still there. It was all Hollywood douchebags. It was all
Hollywood
B-grade.
Samuel Jackson
Hollywood
was a good
celebrity.
Host. Jack Black was there.
The guy from fucking Roseanne was one of the guys who like introed something. I do you
the
even
guy
know
from
his
Roseanne?
I don't know. That's
the
point.
Isn't
I don't
that
know his
the guy?
Name.
Isn't that the guy on Big Bang Theory?
Yeah,
that's like one of the most popular shows on TV.
I think you're focusing on like the wrong things, though. That's
Hollywood
not a problem.
Douchebag.
No, but you guys aren't even talking about the worst thing. One of the Wayans brothers came into the red carpet thing and just like
Snoop.
He was on the red carpet and he just walked up to the dude. I don't know his name, but he has like the goofy hair.
The guy who looks a little bit like.
He really
Aaron,
needs a haircut.
Carrot top.
Yes.
I think he's a really nice guy, but he needs a haircut. he like comes up and the first thing is like,
Daniel
"Hey,
Kaiser,
yeah,
Kaiser,
I like your girl nice. Hair." And then like he starts making fun of the announcer guy, and then at the very
What's
end, he like he takes over the whole thing and starts plugging his new movie, and he does a really shitty job. He's like, "Yeah, go see my movie."
But that's the red car. I even said this on Twitter too, but like the red carpet stuff is a different story.
And
that
like,
is still garbage. And
they're
stupid,
like handing out
a
awards to people on the red carpet.
So that was kind of funny too. Yeah. So the two of the problems were that there's not a emphasis on the. I mean, two of the conventional criticisms year after year are that there's not an emphasis on the game creators. That it's more there's more of an emphasis on B, C list, sometimes D list Hollywood celebrities rather than
X-list.
Like the game creators. And to that end, they gave out I think it was 6 awards only were actually given out on the telecast.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't game creators that were introducing stuff or being the personalities. It was all the B-list Hollywood celebs,
right.
Which is fine that they're doing that because they're Spike TV. They got to get people
I don't have
to watch
a problem
it,
with
whatever.
That, yeah.
It's not.
I would rather have Jessica
have
Alba introduce Dark Souls than like Cliffy B or something. Like I don't. That's
really?
More. Yeah, definitely.
But the problem with that is that she can't give, you know, intelligent discussion on what does Dark Souls 2 actually mean.
Why not? Everything she said before the reveal was totally, like, fine. Like, I actually went back and watched that because I wanted to watch Dark Souls 2 trailer again. She said nothing that was, like, offensive or stupid or anything. Like, it was, like, fine.
I see where
you
you're...
You can make
your
noise, but she didn't.
I see what you're saying.
Tell me what she said that was dumb.
I don't even... What did she even say?
I don't know.
She talked about... Actually,
Mario,
now
when we
watching it the second...
Mario.
Dude, it's all scripted.
Right. So when I watched Dark Souls 2... You keep saying right, but you're just agreeing with something that doesn't make sense. Like when I watched Dark Souls 2 trailer the first time, I don't know about you guys, but I actually didn't know it was Dark Souls 2 until the title came up. I just thought it was like some Skyrim DLC or something. It looked awesome, but I didn't think it was Dark Souls 2.
I was spoiled.
Watching it again, though, she actually kind of the lead up that she introduced it to, if you actually were paying attention, like she actually basically said without saying that it's the follow up to Dark Souls.
She was reading a teleprompter.
Right.
I'm not saying, well, of course she was reading a teleprompter.
I'm
just saying,
I'm not herself.
That has nothing to do with my argument.
Not about your argument. I was talking about Brendan's argument.
What are we even arguing?
I don't know. What I was going to say before Brendan interrupted is that.
When did I interrupt you? I did not interrupt you.
I said a word.
I see what you're saying, John. Like, there really isn't much of a difference.
I think this is important because we should criticize them for the things that are worth criticizing, but we shouldn't criticize the stuff that's not a problem.
But no, it should be. No, it's the same fucking show that it's been. It's B and C list celebrities. It just, they gave Game
of the
Year.
You don't think it was better than last year? It was a lot better than last year.
Here's why it was better. They gave Game of the Year to The Walking Dead instead of to Call of Duty.
That's fine.
Had a reveal of Dark Souls instead of whatever crap they had the year before.
They had great reveals last year. Last year was Last of Us. That was awesome.
They had Last of Us and they had Metal Gear.
Metal Gear Rising, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they have any, was there anything else out of that?
It was
a bunch of like zombie games.
I mean, this year was basically Dark Souls and Phantom Pain.
There was
right?
There was the Cliffy B Minecraft thing.
But then also
last
there was
year had some crap.
Castlevania, whatever.
That was a bad trailer, by
two.
The way.
We'll just talk about that stuff later. Anyway, we got kind of sidetracked here, but my larger point was, so you think the show is actually like legitimately improved from last year. It's just a better
I still think it's got a way to go, but it's gotten to a point now where it is not offending me anymore, so now I feel like from here we can build and actually make it respectable. It's definitely an improvement.
Nobody's being like Badu or coming out in the Doritos hat or anything anymore.
I was kind of what? I don't know.
You don't remember like there was one year where everything was sponsored by Badu, fueled by Badu.
Badu. I think it's Badu. Like,
Badu. And then like,
I would have liked it actually if they brought like if Jeff Keighley came out with the Pope uniform on the Pope outfit,
he
should
have
been like
carried by four you know,
like
people on a
surfing
on
a giant Dorito or something.
Apparently he's going to address that. He's mentioned somebody on Twitter.
Anyway,
the pageantry
the
pageantry of the VGAs. Let's talk about who got what awards. So I do think, like I said, I think the award selection has gotten better, and I think the grade of reveals and how they are revealed has gotten better. And to me, that does make the show better. That makes it worth more watching. But the actual moment to moment of what's going on in between these things, I think, is still pretty horrible. Anyway.
I agree.
So, best graphics, Halo 4. Good choice. Best Xbox 360 game, Halo 4.
I think that was the only
original game for that system. Best musical score, Journey, which also won best PS3 game.
Well, it was
the only
it got best indie game too, didn't it?
It got best independent game too, which I like. Actually, that somebody made this argument at a GDC about
what defines an indie game.
Yeah, there's this eternal fucking thing about what's indie and what's not. But I don't know why that they. I mean, it is a small team, but they've been funded by Sony for so long. They don't really feel.
It doesn't strike me exactly as indie. Right. Yeah, like if it was like a pub fund game or something, I could see that being still kind of falling under the classification of indie. But being like funded, like straight up funded by Sony, feels a little different than indie to me.
The designation is totally arbitrary.
It's a big gray area.
It's all nothing but gray area. But like, for example, I mean, Gearbox technically is an indie, right? But Borderlands 2 is not going to win. I mean, it was made for a publisher, just like Journey was.
Right. Yeah.
Borderlands 2, which won a bunch of stuff, best shooter, best multiplayer, it's won some character thing. I don't know how the hell that happened.
My phone is like operating itself. Siri just started talking to me. Sorry if that came through
alive.
The mics.
It did. But you're not going to see Borderlands 2 winning best indie game, right?
No, and I agree. I think that's kind of an issue because, I mean, Journey, I think they're kind of misclassifying Journey from like small art house awesome game means indie game, which it doesn't, you know.
Right,
but
it's almost like, where's your funding coming from? I don't know.
Ultimately, I think to me, independent means independent, which is like you're doing this on your own. Like, and you know, if you're getting funded by
someone, self-publishing,
self-funding mostly. Yeah,
yeah.
This is how I feel.
I get into a rough thing.
I think it's different things to different people, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, it struck me as a little weird. Well deserved. I mean, absolutely.
Totally.
Don't get me wrong. I think we're all great Journey fans.
I think it's one of those things that like they put it in that category because they're really like it's not, you know, in terms of like the ambition or whatever. It's not up there with like the huge ass AAA games. Which
and it
is
wouldn't
why,
be fair to compare them.
Well,
either.
I think there should
be. Well,
they
won best PS3 game straight up.
I think there should be, like, you know, short form, long form.
Right, right. Because they're different kinds of games. We're not even talking about genres here. We're talking about, like, production method is different.
Right. Sure.
I don't know.
Game of the decade, Half-Life 2.
You know, I was okay with that. I was pretty ready to be like, you know, there's not many choices. I would be like, yeah, I could see that. But
Shadow of the Colossus.
I could see that. So Half-Life 2, though, I mean,
didn't have the impact.
It's still the best game of 2010, I think.
Well, the idea is it's the best game since the Spike Awards.
Shadow of the Colossus is the best game of 2010.
No, from 2000 to 2010.
It's not 2000 to 2010. It's from Spike Awards starting to now, which
That's
has
right.
been 10
which
years.
Which is all that matters, Jamie. Right. That's the new calendar.
Which in itself
first,
is kind of a weird.
Before Spike
the
and
first,
after
the
Spike.
The first
yes,
Spike Awards.
Yes, and AS.
When were you born? I was born, yeah. BS 20.
The first Spike Awards. I told this like last year when we covered this, but they announced the game of the year at the very beginning of the show. And it was like Madden 2001.
I do remember watching the Spike Awards with everyone on EGM at the time, and it just being like a nonstop, just fucking, just laughing and hanging your head in shame.
I mean, it took a decade to even become like semi-respectable, and that's the highest ranking.
So I guess I begrudgingly must say it has gotten better than that, but I don't think the needle moved as much as I think as other people did. I guess is what I wanted to say, just to go back to that.
Sure.
Anyway, back to Half-Life 2. I think this is a poor choice, and
really?
I say that. Yeah,
well,
I say that.
Your choice. Yeah, what would be your choice?
As someone, I think Portal would be my.
Really,
would have been my choice. Yes, because
I was hoping they weren't going to pick Portal.
See, why?
Because I like Portal, but I feel like Portal
did
is
you,
like
you played it.
I didn't finish. No, I did finish it. Yeah, I finished Portal. I didn't play Portal 2 though. Very much.
How much Half-Life 2 have you played?
Half-Life 2, I probably played like 3/4 of it before I stopped.
Really,
I
you got that far
on the Orange Box version? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, again, like Half-Life 2 wouldn't have been my choice.
Right.
But it's just like it's a choice that doesn't. I could see why people would could call that. So, and that
don't
was
get me wrong.
Okay
I'm not.
Me.
I'm not saying that it's like an embarrassing choice or whatever. Right. But
I'm just glad it wasn't.
It's definitely
an
a debatable
choice.
One.
Right. I feel like a game of a decade would be something like the criteria is a little different. In that it has to have like a. Long, like a lasting influence, I would say. Not just be popular.
Should
and
be
not
groundbreaking.
Just be a fan favorite. Should be groundbreaking. Mm. It should be have a big influence on the industry.
I feel
and
like Half-Life 2 does all that.
It does.
Though,
it does do that. It does do that. But
more so than Halo.
Yeah. But I think at the time,
probably.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say so. And I wouldn't.
You
even
don't think Half-Life 2 had a bigger influence? I mean, it came first, right? Before it came long before
I think
Halo. Didn't
Half-Life
it?
2's influence is probably. Narrative, which I feel like hasn't been taken up, unfortunately, and also physics-based kind of stuff, which was done better and more entertainingly and in a tighter package in Portal.
Also, at the time, it was tech as well, right? I mean, that was like the best-looking PC game for a while.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like that is like discounted because it's always just going to be like the next big thing. So my thing about Half-Life 2 is, and the proof to me is in the pudding, where I've picked it up maybe like 3 or 4 times, and I get through like the first third or half of it. And it's not that anything's wrong, that I dislike anything or whatever, but for some reason, I don't end up playing through it. Portal, I played through that shit multiple times, couldn't put it down, had to talk to other people about it.
Right.
Half-Life, there was a part of that game where you're just like shooting zombies again. And you're like, you know what? Even though I'm doing it with saw blade now in a sink or whatever it is, I've done this in 20, 30 other games, and I know the second half of it. I know some of what happens. I know that there is stuff that happens that's more interesting, and I do really respect Half-Life 2's ability to push you down a path and not have you realize that it's a path. The game's doing tons of great stuff. One of my best friends worked on it, but then he also worked on Portal, too.
He was up on TV.
He was up on stage. Yeah. He had a big Grizzly Adams beard. But he also worked on Portal, so I can say it should have gone to Portal with impunity. But Portal, think about it. Like, the narrative influence of Portal was huge. Yeah. I mean, it broke the barriers of kind of what was a game. It had all this, like, zeitgeist cultural influence. Like, it just was so much more of an interesting thing in terms of gameplay and story and narrative. I mean... how it was told, what the story was, and how it was told, both everything about it, the look of it, I mean, yeah. everything was really, you know, it was this just tight little package. It had comedy in it. It was so many things that I feel like,
yeah, I could totally
deserves buy. It more than just this, like, the next step in first person shooter. Mm.
The one,
you know?
The
I
one
can buy that too.
The one problem I have with that, and I agree with everything you said, and I love Portal. You will never find me saying nearly anything bad about Portal. I feel like it did not have the effect on the industry maybe it should have. Like, you don't really see Portal. You don't really see games being compared to Portal, or like they
but
took
you know
Portal
why
aspects.
That is because it's so
no
hard
one's
to do.
Been able to do it. Yeah.
Quantum Conundrum is like the closest that anyone's even
this
tried,
is true.
And they just like fall flat on their
all,
face.
All those things can be said about Shadow of the Colossus too, though.
So Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus is forgiven for too many. I mean, I forgive it too, but there's too many gigantic problems with that game. To,
yes,
the gameplay in Shadow of the Colossus and Eco.
Yes.
If you strip everything else aside, that's great
guys.
About it. Is
Eco
kinda
way
crap.
Worse?
Eco's
I'm talking about Shadow of the Colossus too.
Okay.
And I love Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
I love it still. But even when I played it at first time and I talked to Shane, I remember distinctly talking about this when we were reviewing it for EGM. Like, I even overlooked some of the control things more than
I mean, you have
else.
To. The game is bigger than that.
But
way bigger than
yeah,
that.
But it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be.
But also,
yeah, well, that's totally irrelevant, I think, when we're talking about influence.
But
are we
it's
talking
not,
about
it's not just
that's
influence,
the problem.
Though.
Yeah.
It's the game.
I mean,
of the
game
that,
of the
day. It's not the most influential.
Yeah,
game
but
of the
see,
game.
You guys,
the
you guys, you're reviewers. You're thinking of the parts and the sum of the parts. I'm talking
right.
about
the
whole.
Right. I get you. But any game, I would say the thing that I really like about Portal is, to me, there's no big butt with Portal.
Sure.
Like
sure,
a big
sure.
JJ butt.
Yeah.
There's no big JJ,
the JJ butt,
butt where it's like, oh, okay, well, Shadow of the Colossus, amazing, but the controls. Eco, amazing, but the camera. Half-Life 2, amazing,
yeah.
but kind of a first-person shooter.
Right,
Portal
right.
is just like amazing, period. End
yeah.
of story.
But
what's wrong with it?
It kind of made me sick. I'm sorry, I was just...
That's
whatever.
Your own personal
okay.
problem, though.
Exactly.
Let's
that's my argument for Game of the Decade.
If,
anyway.
I had to say, it's almost dumb to even say it, because you could guess this from a million miles away, but probably my personal Game of the Decade would be Monster Hunter. That is the game I played the most in the last 10 years.
Which
and
Monster
enjoyed
Hunter?
The most. Well, all of them, but I mean, obviously, Tri is the one I spent the most time on, and its variations, but...
Trying to think of any other games that would be, like... Game of the Decade material.
PSO would have been had it been in the decade. It's not actually. It's 2000. But PSO
yeah,
is one of the
right.
few games in my lifetime that really just like opened my eyes to like what a game could be.
I think you could probably throw in World of Warcraft. I mean, talk about influence and just like, you know,
it is
game changing
MMORPG yeah.
games. That
Dark
game,
Souls is pretty freaking awesome too. I gotta say,
right?
But
yeah. that's
would have been
post.
Demon's Souls. So.
I'm pretty amazed at so like the response on Twitter to Dark Souls 2, a from a purely CG trailer, which I'm always kind of disappointed in.
Right?
Yeah,
we learned
nothing.
Looked
great, but it's like, yeah, it looked. Great for a CG trailer,
right?
Yeah, but it's more the art direction. The art direction is obviously going to carry over to the game too, like,
yeah,
and the art direction was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's Dark Souls art direction, which is like I really like too. It's pretty classic
yeah. right.
fantasy stuff, which is great, but I'm like, it is amazing how much everyone has come around on Dark Souls, and it's become this like huge phenom. I think
yeah.
it's fantastic. I'm super happy and excited about it, even separate from me how much I personally care about the game. I think it's great to see like that kind of hardcore gamers game, Japanese game,
yes,
action RPG kind yeah. of game getting that kind of excitement.
Definitely.
It's definitely, I feel like, a lot of Johnny Come Latelys and a lot of like people jumping
yeah.
on board the bandwagon. Maybe
yeah.
I'll be one when I finally play it
sure.
Over the break, hopefully.
You are? That's so great.
I am, yeah. Now I've got my TV.
I'm jealous of you that you get to play the game.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's a great
time.
Game to play
yeah.
in the winter, too, man. It's just something about that. It's just awesome.
I mean, I've played...
Epic Name Bro videos. Watch the Epic Name Bro videos. Don't be afraid to consult the winter net.
Right. Yeah, keep your computer open because you'll be scared to like walk into any room.
I love that game.
Sorry, back to Dark Souls 2. Do we want to talk about the stuff that came out after the show?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk... The shitstorm over like three words that nobody
knows. It is worrisome.
It is the sort of the last sort of thing you want to hear,
yeah.
probably
right.
as a as a fan.
It's kind of like, you know, someone taking over your favorite TV series and being like, yeah, I don't think Star Trek's going to be sci-fi anymore.
It's, yeah, it's kind of like somebody saying, like, it's gonna be so popular. You know.
But it's too soon to, like, space to warrant really that sort of overreaction.
More more dude bros.
It's too soon, though. I mean, I agree.
Okay,
it's
let's talk about what it was first before we talk about the reaction. So this was from an Edge cover story, I believe.
They isn't out yet, but Edge wisely, like 5 minutes after the announcement, basically like put a preview of their issue out with some quotes and stuff.
Right. So game director Tomohiro Shibuya.
Shibuya.
Apparently is his name.
Yep. I had students named Shibuya.
Who worked on what game previously?
Probably Armored Core, right?
Yeah, it was the Armored Core that not a lot of people liked.
Also worrisome. All of
that
them?
Was something that a lot of people were calling. A game is a lot of combination of a lot of things, though, so we can't really judge. The quote is, "I am personally the sort of person who likes to be more direct than subtle," Shibuya said. "Dark Souls 2 will be more straightforward and understandable."
Cue the internet explain.
It's like, this is...
No,
saying,
that's... No.
Event Horizon.
I know, maybe it's too soon, whatever, but I just want to say that saying that...
It's too soon.
It's like a just clear relax. Misunderstanding of what Dark Souls is about,
dude. There's a
but
there's
you don't know what really what that means. Ways. Like
I don't.
We don't even know what he said in Japanese. How it was.
That is right. That is also true.
You don't know a million different ways. There are a lot of people who just like want the game to be more understandable. Like that has somehow become a bad
atmosphere.
Thing.
Accessibility doesn't have to ruin that. I mean, it could. No, you're totally right, but it doesn't have to.
Accessibility is different. No, accessibility is different from what he just said, though, I feel like.
Just wait, guys. I mean, fucking, there's going to be arrows on the ground telling you where to go.
Perfect. You're gonna have like a floating
gonna,
sidekick.
There's gonna be a
listen. Hey, don't go in
the girl. The girl from the trailer.
Right.
She's gonna come out of your sword.
Because I feel like you can make Dark Souls more accessible while still keeping the subtlety and keeping the mystery. You can do both of those things. I'm concerned
about
making
that?
It straightforward.
Right.
That's what I'm concerned about. Accessibility is one thing. Making it straightforward is something entirely different.
I mean, that is a case where I actually really would want to know what he said in Japanese, though, because straightforward could come from a number of different words, and it really could just mean, like, we're making the menus less hard to navigate or something.
Exactly.
You know what
I mean?
It doesn't necessarily mean
a zillion different
things. No offense, but do you think, like, this guy's getting the first interview about his new game, and he's going to be like, yeah, the menus are going to be great.
I'm just saying that's what they might mean. But in general, like straightforward could be referring to the interface. It could be referring to getting rid of the barriers from letting you enjoy the game the way they want you to enjoy the game.
Also,
which doesn't have to be
half the time people
babyizing it.
Sell you a line of whatever bullshit, and then you get the game, and it has nothing to do with whatever they've been saying the entire time.
This
right?
is true, but you're still going to now analyze what they said no matter what.
Yeah, and that's fine, but I'm just saying, we don't even have enough information on what he
that
actually
issue is out
said.
Any day now, too, I think. As soon as it comes out.
Does anybody think that this is kind of too soon, by the way?
No.
No.
Dark Souls 2?
You're looking at
a
late next year release, probably. So
if it comes out next fall, that's like 2 years.
That's about right.
Mm. Yeah, that's totally right.
In fact, a year later would not be good because they'd be stuck in that sort of cross-generation period.
Right.
Where,
well,
like,
I was thinking a next-gen thing, but...
Especially since, at least in the video that I saw, it looked like Blighttown, one of the areas from Dark Souls 1, is in Dark Souls 2.
Well, they said it's like a new story, new world.
But there was something that looked a lot like it.
Yeah, other people said it looked like Anor Londo or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, the press release says it's a new world, so we'll see.
I don't know, man.
All right, so...
I'm still super excited about that. Dark Souls anything, come on.
I'm worried.
The trailer was awesome.
Who's finished
awesome.
It here?
Nobody's finished it, I don't think.
Okay.
Brendan's got the
just
farthest,
asking.
Though, right?
Yeah. Well, I think JJ and I are about the same.
Maybe. I'm probably like halfway, maybe.
It's amazing, like, that level of fandom, and yet nobody's finished.
It's just, it gets to the point
where
it's too hard.
I told you why I haven't. Like, I need a solid, like, week to devote to it. I don't want to play for an hour a night, because, like, the hour of stress that builds up does not equate to, like, what I get out of it. I need, like, a solid, long block of time to make it worth the stress.
All right.
But this game is good. We swear.
I'm waiting for the Hunter Holiday.
The Phantom Pain.
The Phantom Pain.
Yes, from Moby Dick Studios. So, yeah.
Who are they?
They're nobody is who they are.
A whole huge gaff thread that we have here, which is really interesting because it's been updated even since I last saw it.
Yeah.
With a bunch of information where people are really pulling this thing apart, which is pretty awesome. People are attaching it to Metal Gear in a million different ways. And Kojima Productions, to tweets that happen, to characters in the Metal Gear universe.
So who watched it live?
I did.
I did not.
Oh, you did not?
No. I saw it at the time you had saw it. 5 minutes after. Okay.
So upon when you first watched it, how long did it take for you to think Metal Gear?
From the beginning, and I'll tell you why. The doctor guy?
Uh-huh.
He is, first of all, the graphics look like Metal Gear, like the way the skin looks and everything, but that guy...
Looks like Metal Gear, you mean the new trailer.
Yeah, the way their skin is and everything.
Interesting.
That guy is a, they modeled it after this kind of, well, sort of well-known foreigner actor here in Japan.
Okay.
And my wife comes up and she's like, hey, isn't that guy? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this game is Japanese. That looks like Metal Gear. And then you see the guy, oh, Metal Gear.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, I lack your knowledge of obscure Japanese talent, but I thought it just when you finally got to see the patient that you'd been in the first person view from, and it looked so much like Snake.
Yeah, I did think Snake. And also the fact that they had, the fact that the camera was like focusing on his ass, which is like in every Metal Gear trailer, they always show Snake's butt.
Yeah, so people are now analyzing like that. Like a map that appears in the trailer is
Cyprus. Actually an animated GIF. I couldn't print out the GIF. So.
Oh, well, that's too bad. And they even found like a hospital in Cyprus that looks like something that appears in it, I guess, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, the electrical sockets were like used in Cyprus.
There was some stuff on the Japanese side, like there's a horse that shows up in the middle of the trailer.
Actually,
that's
a unicorn, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, the model apparently showed up in an earlier like demonstration that Kojima put up on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Oh, the Fox
Engine?
That's
not in here.
Yeah. No, it's not, because it was on the Japanese side.
Oh, okay. One thing, let's say, but here's two things. So if it is Metal Gear,
it is.
What is a flaming unicorn doing in it? And then what is the giant... like worm creature or whatever that was.
It was a whale.
No, it's Moby Dick. It's a whale. Yeah.
He's Captain Ahab.
Yeah, that was a...
Who's Captain Ahab?
Snake is.
Why?
Snake in quotes.
Because I'm guessing it's a metaphor for something that he's chasing that he can't actually...
Fine. What the fuck is a giant whale doing?
First of all,
helicopters in a Metal Gear game.
He's probably hallucinating or something. It's the effects of something.
But
pain. I mean, think of the name of the game.
It connects with the name of the studio... He's got a hook for a hand.
You're saying like random bullshit right now.
This is all stuff that connected to Moby Dick.
No one's arguing what it's connected to or not or whatever. I'm just saying if it's a Metal Gear game.
Why do you keep saying if? Like you think it's a Metal Gear game, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
But I'm saying so. Then is he hallucinating or what's going on there?
It seems like he might be.
You have to be. I mean, you see him wake up from a coma. So,
but I mean, it seems
pretty cool.
It's, I guarantee you, it is a metaphor for something that he is like his motivation for this game. There's got to be something. Maybe it's about the boss chasing after the boss or something.
But that's every Metal Gear game.
No, but we're talking about in the actual game. If you're
not like the boss, the person, the boss.
I know the boss.
If you're assuming that the stuff in the trailer is in the actual game.
Oh, yeah.
Then my question is, so is that, is he hallucinating? Is there like a surreal aspect to it or whatever? I really like the idea of if he is hallucinating... not knowing like what's real and what's not or what have
you. And if it's related to Ground Zeroes in any way, is it part of Ground Zeroes or is it something that takes place before or after Ground Zeroes? Like a lot of people were theorizing that they're different. And
Jeff Keighley, some people were thinking, oh, this is Ground Zeroes, it's the next Metal Gear.
Right.
But so two things. One, I think the shadow background thing lined up with
that was amazing.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
That was really impressive, whoever figured that out.
And then,
it totally lines up.
The other thing is Jeff Keighley said that it is a
never new been shown
game.
Before,
it is an entirely new game. So,
and also, there'd be no reason for them to release a trailer for an unspecified game no one had ever heard of, and then afterwards say, actually, by the way, it's this game already announced.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
People showed the scar on his face matching up with the scar on the snake in Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, so what would Snake then have a hook for an arm?
I guess so. He's got one.
Potentially.
There.
He looks like it.
They did it. Well, first of all, let's take the scar thing first of all. If it's the scar on his face does match the Ground Zero snake, we already figured out that Ground Zero snake is Big Boss, right? Hmm. It's not later. So that would make
so
this.
So how could he not have an arm?
Well,
I don't know, but one thing about Big Boss is
maybe
that
this comes after
in the old story, the old Metal Gear like backstory, Big Boss had like artificial limbs and stuff like that. It was part of his backstory, so that's like lends credence to this being Big Boss, and that could fit with that story. Like maybe he gets his arm replaced. Maybe he has a hook right now, but maybe like he's gonna get out and get his arm replaced or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Totally fits. super exciting. Like, I gotta say, like, I mean, I know it's a little silly that they're like running the joke this long and pretending like it's real. I mean, they have Twitter accounts set up and everything.
Jorgen
Joachim, which is an anagram for Kojima.
Yeah, which
I did tweet that myself without anybody else saying anything too. Like, it was pretty clear right from the start.
I love the picture. He looks like Hulk Hogan.
No, well, all those are BS. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So. Wait, there's not a real Twitter from them?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought one of them was real.
Nope. None of them are real.
That's hilarious. Wait, what are they writing in Swedish then? Because there's someone tweeting in Swedish.
Great, right? Like, they're totally, people have taken it and ran with it. But Konami put out a thing saying that the only way that Moby Dick Studios is Moby Dick Studio has updated its about page.
That would have been funny if Konami put it out.
Yeah. With the following message. Disclaimer, Moby Dick Studio and our representatives do not currently operate through any social medias such as Facebook or Twitter, except for YouTube.
Well, the thing I was going to say about all that, though, is that I think this is a really cool way to intro a game. And it is very much a like old school Kojima thing that I have a lot of respect for.
I think it's really awesome
that they're doing it this way.
I love that he's still like, is finding new ways to just fuck with us.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's doing it in such like big ways.
I feel like it's a return to form, because like Metal Gear Solid 4's unveiling wasn't all that exciting compared to this. Like, this is like cool and interesting and different.
And kind of to tie it back into the theme with the podcast, Japanese podcast, it's nice to like every once in a while say like, by the way, Japan does some pretty cool shit.
The two biggest things that came out of the VGAs were from Japan,
which is great. If you would have asked me the day before if that would that would be the case, I would have said, "Haha, fuck you, that's stupid."
Finally, in VGA land, let's see, Last of Us.
Looked really good.
I liked the fact that they showed like a settlement of people, so that the Last of Us, so there are actually more people than we thought.
Right.
And I'm hoping that there'll be like city sections and stuff, and maybe that'll be your home base.
I'm totally on a media blackout.
Seemed a little more balanced between story and
it's coming out soon.
Gameplay.
Yeah,
it's coming out on my birthday,
May 7th.
Yeah. I wasn't that interested, but after seeing that trailer in particular, I'm now more interested than
I'm
I was.
Really interested.
I hope when they release it in Japan, it has that like another hand painted cover like Uncharted 2 did.
That's all you got to say about that, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't watch the trailer.
Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Disappointing.
I didn't watch that trailer.
Disappointing. The trailer was just like not up to par with the other trailers shown at the VGAs. I mean, like, there's a lot of like silly dialogue, and in that dialogue the like voices weren't matching up with the lip movements and stuff. It just looked kind of ghetto compared to like everything else they showed. And I mean, the story is intriguing, but it's just it picks up where Lords of Shadow left off. But it's like, I still have this feeling like these guys are kind of, I liked Lords of Shadow, but it just wasn't a Castlevania game. And this, to me, it feels again like these guys are just taking a sacred brand and like turning it into something that it's not supposed to be. And it kind of bothers me.
They showed a little bit of the modern day setting, which was in the ending.
In the ending of the first game.
Of the first game. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, they actually showed more of the actual gameplay at E3, I think. This was more of just like a kind of
story. Is it not just more of the same?
It looks that way, yeah. But it looks like it's dependent on you caring about...
too much gameplay. I mean, it showed some kind of stuff,
right.
But not like real gameplay.
But all of this is dependent on you caring about the character and the story. And if you didn't, and you just cared because it was like a good game, basically, then there's not much to get out of this trailer. I was kind of disappointed. Those guys want to be like the big leaguers, but I don't think they're there.
What about Tomb Raider? Had a new trailer. Anybody?
Tomb Raider, didn't they have like an hour long video on IGN?
It's been shown for like 2 years now, and it's getting less interesting looking with each new trailer. Like, I don't like Lara's face.
I was not impressed with it.
I
don't like a face, Lara.
No, I'm just saying though. Like they didn't like the first trailer.
When you
trailer,
say that about male characters in games, John.
Right.
One reason why John
she's not wearing enough pink.
Double standard. Jeez.
No, like I mean, I thought the game looked really good the first time we saw it at what was it E3 like 2 years ago, and like now it's starting to look like every other game. I don't know.
I think it's gotten a little overexposed.
Maybe
they showed it a little early. Yeah. They did show it a little early, but
And the trailer was so chaotic, you didn't really get a feel for the gameplay. Just like you could sort of see what you were doing, but you jumped around they jumped around so quickly that you never got a solid sense of, okay, I'm in this area doing this sort of thing. So I thought the trailer wasn't as focused as it could have been.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Was there any other trailers? Was that pretty much
BioShock?
Shit.
BioShock Infinite.
So there was some BioShock Infinite footage,
which also didn't look that great to me. Like, it didn't look bad by any means. It looked interesting, but it just like
it looked kind of crazy to me.
It looked like BioShock.
Like, am I getting old? This is just like looks like random craziness, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, like, well, like, yeah, fighting that. They were showing the, like, this game's, what's he called? I forgot his name already.
Big Daddy.
No, well, yeah, no, but this game's version. The Handyman. I forgot what it's called. The Handyman. Yeah, that's basically, right, like, this game's Big Daddy, and, like, fighting one of them. And it looked cool and crazy, and he looked super strong, but it, yeah, there was nothing in there that was like, oh, like, this is new and unique and
intriguing. I feel like the same way. I was just like, I want to see more of the story stuff.
Yeah.
There was nothing. The E3 demo,
I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then the fighting started, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just go look at something else. So when do we get to the next story scene?
They showed you, like, you know, get your main character or whatever, like, I guess breaking into the facility or whatever where the girl is being held, right, and talking to her a little bit. And that was, like, kind of interesting. But then, like, she sort of implied that the man, what's he called again? The man.
Songbird?
What was the guy we just
talked about? The handyman.
Oh, yeah. I keep thinking Maneater for some reason. The handyman was like coming or whatever, and then they, like, you know, got away from the story stuff, and it was like,
So,
let's see.
Do we care? Let's move on now.
You see all the chaos, by the way, over the box art for that game.
We, like, have some stories in there.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I think we do have one.
The internet dudes, guys, fucking deal with it.
Yeah, but you know what? The funny thing is, though, is, okay, yes, the box art is bad.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty bad. But it's also not, like, what the reasons that Ken Levine said they did it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think they did a good job of what they were trying to do. Like, that's not a box art that's going to appeal to, like, a non-hardcore gamer.
Dude, it's got a fucking American flag and a dude with a 5 o'clock shadow holding the gun.
If they're aiming for, like, the South, maybe, but, like, that's not going to get your average, like, non-gamer.
Those dudes are gamers, man.
Yeah, I know, but it's...
I went to the University of Tennessee.
They could have done a better job of making it more mainstream.
What would be more, like, mainstream? What would be appeal to the frat guy a little more, do you think?
I don't know. Muscles. A little more going on, at least. Like, all it is a, like, kind of, like, redneck-looking dude and a flag.
Explosions,
like,
put in
some
the background.
Explosions or something.
You see that, and you're like...
you know, like...
You immediately, like...
Just get the cover of Duke Nukem and just put the cover Duke Nukem chicks and then just slap Bioshock Infinite on the cover.
You see that, and you're like, okay, I get to play this game where I'm this cool-looking dude, and
he's not cool-looking.
Like,
he's like a... Come on.
He's
conventionally cool looking to a frat dude. I would agree with that. And he does have a gun.
And there's, like, kind of like a ripped up American flag.
Like, the situation.
He does have the
something.
Eyes down. Yeah. What is it? Chin down. Yeah. Eyes up. That thing going on.
Basically, you need to hire Michael Bay to make.
If they were
cover.
Going for, like, the, you know, American spirit or whatever, Assassin's Creed did a better job of that with the Assassin's Creed 3 cover. Like, and that's not even.
What's that cover?
Well, it was, like, you know, the American flag, the Revolutionary War.
The,
you know.
The guy, the main character, oh. Remember his name, with an axe.
There's the other.
Chopping
okay.
off. A redcoat's head.
Okay. Wait, what? On the cover of the Assassin's Creed?
He has a redcoat in front of him, and he's got an axe going down to kill him.
About to chop it off.
Yeah, that will get Americans excited.
So what about the madness of King George?
He messed up the name a little bit there, but yeah.
Well, whatever. Close enough.
The something of King Washington. Oh. Not King George.
The madness of King George. Washington.
No. The tyranny of King Washington, I think it was called. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't played Assassin's Creed 3, so I don't know why I should care. But, I mean, the alternate universe America thing has potential, I guess. I don't know. People didn't like Assassin's Creed 3 very much, so that makes me not interested.
We're
in
talking
this.
About Assassin's Creed now?
There's, like, a DLC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
It's like an alternate universe version of America where George Washington was, like, this tyrannical ruler, and he has a king, he's got a crown on, and, like, he rules America or whatever.
Seems to be, like, a very French take on, on alternate American history. Like, I don't think any American has ever thought of ever, like, what would have happened if George Washington would have been an asshole and just tried to become king. And
well, they're making this in Canada,
now.
Right? This isn't UB France.
Right. Guess, no, but it all comes from there.
Right.
It all comes from there.
The ideas.
All ideas. Like,
passed down from on high.
Canada's part of the Commonwealth. You know, you can't trust them too much.
I guess so.
But, like, sorry, I like Canada.
We're joking.
What was I saying? Oh, but, like, you know, for alternate histories, it's like, what if Hitler won World War II? Okay, that is something that could have possibly happened, you know, had certain things not happened. But, like...
That was pretty deep.
Thank you.
What about
George Washington becoming a king? That's, like, it's so out of character and so
it's
impossible.
Video games.
But still, like, alternate histories have to have at least a little bit of believability.
Well...
Yeah, but all of the real main alternate histories have been thought of. So I'm willing to give them credit for trying something new.
There you go.
Didn't you read the What If Marvel comics?
Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah.
I want the new DLC. I want the Abe Lincoln one where Abe Lincoln was a dick and like became
Abe Lincoln Zombie Hunter.
Became like a conqueror of the entire Western Hemisphere, like a Genghis Khan like Attila the Hun,
okay,
like riding buffalo down through Central America with his like horde of raiders
fighting zombies.
That's Assassin's Creed 4.
Ubisoft, this is what Americans want.
Yeah. Right.
Write this down.
The madness of Emperor Lincoln or whatever.
Call Lincoln.
Yeah. King Abe.
Call Lincoln. Nice.
Call Lincoln. Nice.
All right. So enough of that nonsense. G4 is becoming Esquire Channel. Don't really care.
I saw a lot of like, you know, sorry to see Attack of the Show go tweets and stuff this week. I guess this was their last episode or something.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I have to say, I'd never watched an episode of Attack of the Show however many years
it's been
on.
I think I've seen parts of it.
I watched E3, you know, I would watch the E3 streams and that's pretty much it.
I see.
Ever.
Are they going to do that anymore? When they're in the Esquire channel, is they just going to talk about
stuff all the time? Games will be, they said like cooking, there. cooking, travel, and fashion. Although gaming will still exist in some form. So probably they will, like their magazine counterpart, review games based on the press release like 3 months before anybody's played anything.
I give it 2 years before they're the channel that has that awful reality show about some like just awful people. Like the History Channel.
That awful reality show about awful people.
You just described every reality show ever made.
I know. No. I didn't say that. I mean, I think the Learning Channel does Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo, yeah.
Just like that kind of shit. It's gonna...
Queer Eye was a good show.
Yeah, it was all right.
Cheers, Queers.
Is it not still on the air?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Nintendo Land.
Is a game.
Is out.
Postmortem happened.
Postmortem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
The game's out.
No, I mean, but Nintendo did a postmortem?
They did it in
Famitsu. The creators talked about it. As we thought, it was basically a collection of prototypes that they were making for the Wii U, put it together, and then decided after the fact, okay, which Nintendo franchises does this match up with? Metroid Blast was going to be a Star Fox title. This is all coming mostly from Polygon. Thanks for all the news, guys.
That makes sense, because when we first played that Metroid demo, it wasn't Metroid. It was just whatever it was at last E3.
Right. They wanted a hovercrafty kind of thing, and I guess that's why they went with Metroid instead of Star Fox. Star Fox would make sense. Donkey Kong's Crash Course, they were talking about making Excitebike or 1080 snowboarding. That really should have been Excitebike.
Yeah, totally.
About it. Have you seen that video where somebody finishes the crash course in like 30 seconds?
No, but I want to see that.
It's pretty amazing. They asked them, or they commented on, did they think about implementing online support for any of these games? In a word, no.
That sounds like Nintendo.
Multiplayer attractions work because of the communication shared between the people playing them. This is bullshit, and I don't buy it because online doesn't mean that you can't still play locally. Online doesn't mean that you can't communicate across the fucking internet.
Preach it.
You can still talk to each other. It's a different thing. I agree. Couch multiplayer is the best.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't mean that you don't throw it away.
Well, I think maybe some games you could probably make the argument that online is fine. And I'm sure like the Metroid game is definitely one of those games. But I think like, some of the
people around wanting to play Wii U stuff all the time. You know, like it's just. Yeah, I don't buy that. That's a bullshit excuse. Sorry. So we talked about Monster Hunter before. Monster Hunter 4, there's a new weapon, the Charge Axe. Basically, it's like an axe with a kind of shield sort of thing stuck to it that's broken apart, and then you can take off the shield and use it as a shield and use the other part as kind of like a sword.
Yeah, it's like a sword and shield. Like the other one was a axe and a greatsword. This is like an axe and a sword and shield.
On one hand, it actually does look like a really cool weapon. On the other hand, I'm slightly disappointed that they're like making kind of variants of existing weapons at this point. Like, I'd rather they just came up with something totally, completely new and different.
The one that I really want is I still think Monster Hunter supports like a really strong, interesting, fun to play support class.
Right.
On the Realms of Magic.
Well, I mean,
I tried the Hunting Horn. Yeah, it's not that fun, like, at all. And so there's the Hunting Horn. The Bowgun, I think, is as close as they've come. And that is actually fun and cool and an interesting implementation of it. But the buffs that you give people, I feel like, aren't strong enough to make it really legit.
Well, you know, the Bowgun actually is a really big damage-dealing weapon. Like, a lot of people in the higher ranks use Bowguns to just fucking destroy monsters. But,
Like, I was, cool. I was actually hoping, sleep bombing people. I was actually really hoping for a new gunner weapon. I think they're due a new weapon. Like, there still is only two weapons that, you know, are long range, and there's a, like, you know, gunner, a whole, there's like a, you know, if you don't play Monster Hunter, there's two kinds of armor. There's the melee armor and the gunner armor, and, like, you know, melee, there's like fucking, you know, 12 weapons.
You buy gunner armor and there's like two.
Yeah, there's the bow and the bow gun. Use.
Maybe there's like a, maybe they can make like a boomerang or something. Or,
well, they, you know, in the there was an interview in the Famitsu article, and they actually mentioned like boomerangs and whips and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, we heard what people want, and we decided to just, like, you know, go in a completely different direction.
We decided to ignore them.
Well, you know, I kind of am glad they don't, because it's one of those things where, like, everybody's like, yeah, do that. Yeah, and then they do that.
They've tested it. They've probably tested a million things that we never got to see, obviously.
Yeah. It'd be fun to see the, like, Monster Hunter test. Lab.
I would like to see
failed, like the RoboCop video of the failed RoboCops
flamethrower. Flamethrower would be kind of cool.
But I, you know, I'm really interested in trying that weapon out. I think I might main that, but we'll see.
I think I'm going to do that poll.
Play the Jesus the really out fun. Of that game. It's only 3 months away. Can you believe that?
I can't believe.
We're not going to talk about Wii U. It doesn't use as much power. That's about all we have to say about that.
Okay.
It sold about 300,000 units. It's first week on sale in Japan, FYI. Mm. Not gangbusters, but
respectable.
Okay.
Not as much as the original Wii.
Yeah, not surprising.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yakuza 5, man. That series still going pretty strong. Sold about 350.
Got a perfect score on Famitsu.
1,000. Well,
that just means surprising. They got a nice fat check, doesn't it?
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for 3DS still selling. Not too bad in 13th place, about 20,000.
Just recently got a price drop.
Drop, yeah. Oh, that's why. It,
yeah.
Oh,
figuring the Wii U implementation too. People
probably a little bit of that.
That's something we haven't brought up, by the way. But if anyone at Capcom listens to this podcast, like, you have got to make a download version of that for the US. You can only buy that on a disc in Japan, which makes no sense. That's the kind of game a player who plays that game wants it in his system all the time. It makes no sense that you can't get a download version.
Very much so. Other things of interest, maybe Zombie U, 13,000. I don't know why I thought that was interesting.
Nobody buys a
PlayStation
zombie
Vita, 11,000.
Hey.
Not good. No. This I thought was funny, staying on Wii U. So in Europe, did you guys know Mature rated, well, you did because you found the news for me. Mature rated games for the Wii U. Even if you have your birth date set and tied to your, you know, Nintendo Network account as being however old, 90 years old, even if you have no parental controls on your system, you cannot buy or even look at text screenshots or trailers of M-rated games except between the hours of 11 p.m. and
that's only in Europe.
Right.
Yeah, because of Germany.
That's right.
Yeah,
wait, 11 p.m., not 11 a.m.?
Fuck no, not 11 a.m. What would be the point of 11 a.m.?
I don't know. People are awake.
Kids are at school? I don't know.
No, 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. would basically be all day long except for 8 hours that nobody's awake.
See, like, when I was reading this, I was like, well, that's not too bad. Why are people complaining?
You're like, well, I'll print it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they have it at all is weird.
That's ridiculous.
It is weird.
So, yes. It's so very, it's 11 like, p.m. to 3 a.m., which is fucking really bad.
Yeah.
But it's Europe.
And it's because of Germany.
What M-rated games are out? Zombie U is an M-rated.
Zombie U.
Is it M-rated?
Assassin's Creed 3.
Dude, it's a zombie game.
I thought there was one more, too. But what's it called? Be,
who?
Assassin's Creed would be.
And oh, Ninja Gaiden probably.
Oh, Ninja Gaiden.
I think that would be, too.
Rated B for bad.
All right. In Hooray for Us news,
yay.
We made Sports Friends Kickstarter happen, pretty much.
8-4 bump.
Single-handedly.
100%.
All us.
Congrats to those guys.
LA Game Space Kickstarter also not coincidentally happened. After
because of
our,
us.
Congrats.
Right, after our endorsement. Lots of interesting kickstarting things going on these days.
There's a developing story. I was talking to you guys about this at lunch. A developing story about this guy who was doing a Code Hero. Apparently, like, totally mismanaged all his funds and, like, his disappeared.
Yuck.
And people were finding out after the fact he had another project about, like, combat corsets. Like bulletproof corsets.
What?
Yeah.
What? What?
That like totally failed and just like, the guy's like super shady and kind of a scam artist.
Well, we were talking about it because I was saying like, I think the Kickstarter Fallout's about to kick in where like a lot of these projects are going to like, you know, you could have the greatest ideas in the world and get all the funding, but if you don't know how to manage a schedule, which a lot of people don't, you could be in big trouble.
On the other hand, some of them are actually going to start coming out.
Exactly.
And I think they're going to be pretty fucking cool. I mean, you've already gotten a lot of stuff that's actually
been getting awesome stuff in the last couple of weeks. Yep. Yeah.
I really hope that, like, the stuff that's coming out now that I just talked about and any other, like, future Kickstarter stuff doesn't kill the service. I think people need to understand that, like, you know, Kickstarter as an idea is still good. There's going to be bad eggs, and you'll probably have to look at them more, but just don't.
Any great idea is going to go through its, like, maturation stage where, like, it kind of gets beat down a bit, but then what's left is usually, like, the good part of it.
And I feel like Kickstarter themselves are probably going to be a little bit stricter in their rules. Maybe
they have been already in the last few months. Mm. Yeah.
And I think some interesting things are coming.
Mm.
With the capital I.
Some kind of new type interesting things are kind of come to Kickstarter, hopefully in the new year. We'll see. But speaking of this year, not next year, big disappointments. Friend of the show, Christian Nutt, did a list on Gamma Sutra that I kind of liked of the biggest disappointments of 2012 on there. Star Wars, The Old Republic.
Snooze.
Any comment? PlayStation Vita.
Sad.
Yeah.
E3.
Yeah.
Don't really care.
Steam Greenlight.
Yeah, that was a bummer. That still is a bummer, but I think
any
that'll work itself out.
Any of these can still
out.
Be turned around.
Yeah, I think that will. That's the one most likely to work itself out.
And then, much to friend of the show Che Chow's chagrin, Mega Man 25th anniversary.
Hey,
of
but
games,
did you see the Mega Man versus Street Fighter?
Yeah,
it's like a Mega Man game with Street Fighter bosses.
Except, and it's for PC.
Yeah,
and it's fan made.
Yeah,
and yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's coming out, and it's cool that it's free. I mean, it's coming out so soon, and that it's free. But it's for PC, and I understand why they're doing it. Here's it. Okay. Let me just get the news out before we start talking about it. So the reason why it is free and on PC is because it's free. They wanted to give it away free. If they charge for it, even if people want to pay for it, they have to go through a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo.
Right. They don't have rights.
It was obviously rushed. I mean, they met the guy, the fan that was making it at Evo. So that was just this past summer.
Right.
So, you know, and he had like two or three levels. Apparently they say it's great and, you know, it's got the their blessing and they're making it. I do think it's a cool, fun little project, but it does, to me, seem like a fan-made thing.
Yeah. But it is... you're comparing that, a fan-made thing, versus the Capcom-made abortion that is the, like, the... what is it called? Mega Man Cross...
Is it the phone thing?
What are we talking about?
That's true.
I'm not comparing it to that.
But I mean, like, you're saying fan-made thing, like it's like a derogatory term.
Yes,
whereas, like, the real Capcom-made thing that just came out a couple weeks ago is maybe one of the worst things I've ever seen.
But the fact that I can still be disappointed in both.
But it's not like that's
this fan-made thing is shit and the Capcom thing is amazing.
At least Capcom USA is trying and putting out stuff that's not
abortion. Listen, I appreciate, like, A for effort. Like, that's cool. You did good. Gold star for effort.
Yep.
Am I going to end up playing it? Probably not, because I don't have a PC hooked up to my TV.
But, you know, you can play it on your PC anyways. Do that. I play PC games, not on my TV.
Are you going to play? Will you play this game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
You can give your impression.
Dude, it's fucking free.
Yes.
I mean, there are many things in this game that are free.
I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, whatever. Respect to them for putting out money and making this thing free for the cause. I'm just saying, like, I think Mega Man deserves better.
Oh, it does.
For his anniversary.
Sure.
Yeah. Been shat on. It's, you know, it's pretty clear from the outside looking in that a lot of that is just because Inafune left and they don't want to, like, give him the satisfaction of, like, treating his creation with any sort of respect, but
it's politics, and that's sad. But kudos to the U.S. for, like, doing something and figuring some workaround. But I mean, it just seems like a Band-Aid. So, maybe I'm entitled, whatever. But I just wanted something better.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
We're not going to talk about this monetization thing, although it was kind of interesting. Mm. Story on GamesIndustry.biz if you're interested in free to play and, like, where things are headed. Definitely check it out. Gamers rule. Only 10% of the industry's $50 billion comes from casuals.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting story. But we probably don't have too much time to talk about it now. But that is an interesting stat that core gamers ignore them to your peril. And actually, slowly people are learning that, hey, even on the cell phone, even free to play, you need to have a good game. Yep. You should have a good game.
Yeah, Ben Judd.
Speaking of an amazing story that everybody should read, this Frank Cifaldi story on Kama Sutra.
That was awesome.
About the Nintendo Power, the early days. Makes a nice little bookend along with the new last Nintendo Power, which I really want to buy digitally. I wish I could somehow.
I think it's worth spoiling the surprise right now just because I want to give thanks to somebody, but I got you a copy.
What?
Thanks to super awesome Phil Theobald.
Are you serious?
Of Nintendo Power. Yeah. Yes. Two copies are on their way. One for me and one for you. So dude, that's part of your ongoing like mini birthday, late birthday presents. But I wanted that's to right. thank Phil. So, you know,
awesome.
Sorry to spoil the surprise, but
wow, well, thank you. No.
But that magazine looks awesome.
You got me also matching white Wii U vertical stand. Holder, which
actually are
so happy about.
It's really weird that but yeah. you can't buy them in stores here. I don't know what it's like in America,
really?
But you have to order them direct from Nintendo.
Dude, yeah. that's so awesome. Thank you. That's great. I was just listening on the Player One podcast. People should check that out too about Phil who worked there talking yeah. about it. And one of the things he was saying that I thought was interesting was he implied like he didn't think the last issue would have happened at all if not for Nintendo. Like some people were like blaming Nintendo and he's like, no, actually quite the opposite. I don't think there might not have been a last issue without Nintendo.
That cover is the best. That was the best possible idea anybody could. Yeah. I want to know. I don't know who exactly came up with it. Some people have said maybe it was Bill Mudron, the guy who actually helped them coordinate it, whatever. But great idea. Like seeing those covers side by side almost makes me like teary eyed. Like yeah. really
what really
good
made
call.
You did you see the comic?
I haven't seen
I did see the comic. Yeah, the how the Nestor and Maxwell yeah. comic was really really good. Like
that's
really
cool.
Really
yeah.
as a
that
father
was Bill, wasn't it? I think Bill drew that.
Maybe.
Yeah, he did. He yeah. did draw that. Chris Slade I think wrote it and Bill.
Yeah, that was really
as a
good.
Father and just like thinking about my childhood reading Nintendo Power and stuff like that, I just like
aww. Go ahead, let it out, JD. You
I just it really sucks.
Yeah.
But that was you know, there's yeah. you can go out high or you can go out low. They definitely seem to have gone out a high point.
Really
I can't
class.
Wait to get my hands yeah. on the issue.
So here's what like so earthquake, whatever happens, nuclear disaster, 8-4 melts into the ground or whatever. Like to me, there is a market and there is a viable path now with Kickstarter and with whatever for a Nintendo focused. I don't know if it's a website or a magazine or something, but something focused on the past and what's going on right now. I think there's a market for that. There's enough money there. There's enough fans that want that sort of thing, a mix of old and new. Like of nostalgia and kind of just what the hell's going on now. That
right.
I don't know why.
I'm surprised Nintendo's letting it go. Yeah. Like it's
that's
seems
not happening.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, not even as an official thing. Like, you know, somebody out there, some enterprising person, I hope, gets on that and starts something like that. Because,
well, you
I
know,
mean,
like the people who do, like, I don't even know what the sites are. Like IGN and Nintendo or something are like really mad at you right now for saying this. They're like, what
no,
about
no,
us?
No, but they have advertisers. They have to focus on the new stuff. They can't sit back.
Oh, you're talking about the whole history of Nintendo.
I'm talking
not right.
about Nintendo focused
sure,
period.
Sure.
I'm talking about a mixture of nostalgia and the new stuff. I'm
Let's
talking
do it.
About
Let's
something
make it happen.
Where like mm-hmm. okay, as Nintendo Power, wow, they probably had like 300,000 subscribers and they couldn't make it enough, you know, money to make worth the time and effort. But you can make, if you scale things properly, 50,000 people is plenty. You know what I mean? Like,
let's
there's
do it.
Definitely 50,000. We could, but we don't have enough time, yeah. man. We got too much shit going yeah. on. Project X, Y, and Z are still going on. And then fucking
and
like
you.
20 other things and GDC. And there's just too much going
yeah.
on. But I would. That's what I'm saying. Like, if shit like went south,
melted.
Just crazy yeah. happened, that's probably what I would
Maybe
do.
Maybe we need to do a Kickstarter to fund our extra
to find extra
do?
Hours in the day.
Yeah,
the problem
yeah.
is
we
the
need
money.
To expand clock, to clone ourselves,
make,
so we can go up and ask God
the,
to give us some more hours. But seriously, because I want that, I would pay for a high
totally.
Quality edge like magazine, bi-monthly or whatever, just like focused on the kind of hits the same spots that this last Nintendo Power is hitting. And I obviously I'm not the only one from the response
no.
to Nintendo Power, right? Mm.
Reading those Nintendo Power stories from Frank's article with like Gale and Howard Phillips were really interesting. We actually have heard a lot of really great Nintendo Power stories from Leslie too, one of our friends over at Nintendo who worked on Nintendo Power for a number of years, and we'd heard a lot of that stuff about how they would like fly over to Japan to like oversee the printing,
which
and stuff.
Was crazy
like,
to me
coming from the magazine industry and knowing how magazines work. That is insane.
It was made, was like put together here, and they like had to argue with the Japanese art directors who apparently called Gale Tin and the Dragon Lady. They also had this big VCR like device. This I also love, just a great detail, having worked in like the game magazine industry back in the day. And you had these stories of, you know, Ed Semrad with his camera that had a cardboard like funnel attached to it.
It's like those dog things.
Yeah, like
dog can't scratch itself or whatever.
So that he could just put it on a screen and then be able to take like a good picture of screenshots at trade shows. He would just like go up and take pictures that way.
Those guys like Mike Vallis would basically go back and like spend hours just like cutting out with like scissors, like finally like cutting out maps and stuff for games and then pasting them together to put them in the magazine.
And that's what they were doing. They had this big VCR like device that would print out like Polaroids of the screen, and then they would cut them out with an X-Acto knife, paste them onto a board, and then photograph them. Is how they were doing basically what were screenshots.
Amazing story.
Pretty fucked up. But yeah, check out that article.
Yeah.
A lot of good nostalgic info in there. Just kind of like what a grassroots thing it was at the
Frank
time.
Cifaldi is doing a good thing because there's not a lot of people digging up these great stories about the past, but he's really knocking them out. He had some great stuff about the Nintendo NES launch in America a few months back, too.
Yes. What he was trying to track down exactly. What was it?
The launch date of Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. Good on you, Frank. Keep it up.
Absolutely.
It's sorry to go back to what I was talking about earlier, but it's like I'm thinking about
Mega Man Street Fighter again.
No. Like Nintendo Power is gone, EGM is gone. What are our kids going to grow up doing? I don't want my son growing up reading Gaff. Like I want. Hey, there's a sense of wonder in having magazines and stuff like that, and I think we really need to cherish that.
I mean, I do hope that somebody takes up the mantle. I don't know that it needs to be a
Ray Barnholt. Keep scroll alive.
Yes. Dude, speaking of which, we got a new issue this morning.
It's about Galico.
It'll be out.
Awesome cover, I have to say. Like, I just saw the cover, but super cool. Definitely
check that
out. What's
his website? Is it
scroll.vg
or something?
Yes.
Look up Scroll Magazine.
Yes.
Ray Barnholt.
Yes.
Very good stuff.
Definitely want to support that. Mm. I have to say, I don't know that it's necessarily print, JJ, what's going to be the next form or that it needs to be. But then that's fine. You gotta let that go as a generational thing. But yeah,
but it's the care and the depth of quality of the article.
Exactly.
Not just a site that's re-reporting links and other things like that.
Flame wars and whatever.
Yeah, right.
You need somebody who, like, for example, exists in Japan and actually is connected to all these old people who maybe have, like, interviewed, like, the guys who did this music for Contra or somebody who knows all those people. If only someone like that were out there.
There was some way for me to give them my money, you know?
Right. Maybe they would make that happen.
Goods and services.
Why are you guys staring at me? I don't know those people.
Street Fighter 25th anniversary. I want to punt on that to talk about it next time because I'm still watching the finals.
Okay.
It's awesome so far. It's amazing. Mm. It's like
has anybody watched the area? The Area 5 guys thing that we helped out on.
Yep.
I want to see that. How did it turn out?
It's awesome.
Really?
It's
how do you view it?
It's a documentary that came with the 25th anniversary Street Fighter pack that Area 5 did. So they were going to put a clip up and then send us a link of it. I'm not sure if they ever got that up, but they sent me a link to be able to watch their.
But normally, how do you get it? You have to
private
buy
thing. You buy the 25th anniversary Street Fighter pack.
I definitely want to get a hold of that.
Comes
and check
with
that
an
out.
Hour plus long documentary about the different aspects of Street Fighter. It's really good. Yeah.
We helped those guys out. Hiroko actually was there interpreting a bunch of their interviews and one of our other guys.
Yeah, they talked to
Daigo.
They talked to a lot of the Capcom guys. They talk to the
Hiroko and Daigo. They're like buds now.
That's right. They're like this.
I got to talk to him too, just randomly.
Oh,
that's right. He called and
I had to call him because Hiroko wasn't here that day.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance demo is region locked. Japan only.
What?
Sorry,
that's
folks.
What the
what?
Fuck is
we
the thinking behind that?
That is that. Yeah, I don't know.
Couldn't really tell you. It's got to be coming somewhere else.
It hasn't been announced.
It's not been announced, but they'll do it before the game comes out.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Probably.
Professor Layton, Level 5 sued by Sega over a
that
soccer game mechanic, which seems pretty specific. But then Level 5's answer to it, so their game Inazuma 11 apparently uses this patent that Sega has
a huge IP in Japan
kind of thing. Yeah, which is, Inazuma 11 is a huge IP in Japan. But as the Level 5 CEO pointed out, Sega's patents were not granted until 2009 and 2011, and the first Inazuma 11 game came out in 2008.
Sega, what are you doing?
This is like,
regardless of if you have a case or not, why would you, like, here in Japan, where, like, the industry is, like, suffering and anything, why would you go and try to sue Level 5? Like, are you desperate for money? So are you just trying, like, to ruin the industry?
Free-to-play guy that's making $10 billion
sue Zynga
on fucking...
or some shit. Like, don't sue Level 5, you idiots. What are you doing?
That's where the big money at.
Yeah. It also doesn't make any sense they'd wait this long to be like, oh, wait, they're totally using our control scheme.
I know. It's like,
this...
let's wait for 12 games to come out and then we'll sue them.
The patent does look very specific, though, about soccer.
It does, but
and
it, like, it was after the game it actually came out.
Yeah, but I'm not a patent lawyer.
And
yeah,
I'm not even arguing that they don't necessarily have a case, but even if they did, like, look, everybody's trying to make games for people to enjoy, to grow the industry. We're all in this together. Like, right. Cut out the crap.
And it's,
don't be
it's another thing where it's like patenting gameplay mechanics. Seems like
a losing proposition for everyone.
Did we not
involved.
Learn anything from Fighter's History? Or is that the name of the game?
Well, there's a lot of weird patents out there. I'm not sure how they all work. But I do agree, at some point it stifles things. I mean, the patent where whoever had it about playing a game
Namco.
While things are loading. Yeah,
like Namco
horrible.
Had that.
Like, fuck you, man.
Someone had a patent on the word RPG, so that in Japan they had to call them role-playing games. They couldn't call them RPGs. Like, it's just some really stupid patents.
Some asshole had the patent for the word Square. Or was it Edge? I'm sorry.
Oh, that guy.
He burned in hell. Good for that, man.
Speaking of burning in hell, Soul Sacrifice demo.
Oh, nice.
Coming out for PlayStation Vita December 20th in Japan.
I want to believe.
You should play that game.
You will play the first part of the main scenario. You can fight three bosses. There will be multiplayer quests available via ad hoc and Wi-Fi.
I want to believe.
Game comes out March 7th. There's an option to buy two of them, which is an interesting thing that some
I think
games
that's
are
pretty
doing
smart.
Now.
EDF has been doing that.
Yeah. Brendan, you excited?
I am excited. I will play the demo and I will see.
I want to hear you guys on the podcast that I won't be on the next podcast.
I'm going to play it. I will definitely. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, like on Twitter, I said to someone, like, oh, it's too bad that game's going to tank. And like all the Sony bots like jumped on me. But like, I'm not saying I want it. I want it to succeed. And in fact, I would almost say that if it doesn't succeed, it's not even necessarily their fault. Okay. Like, Sony is not doing much to make Vita like a viable platform right now. Like, I want that game to do well. I just don't see it happening. And they're going up against Monster Hunter 4. If you think they're not going to get completely steamrolled, you are smoking something. So
you just reminded me of, I wanted to take more reader questions, but we're unfortunately out of time. But one of the questions was, what could Sony do to actually kickstart Vita short of, don't say Monster Hunter, not an acceptable answer?
Cut the price in half, like yesterday, and do like some kind of ambassador thing. Well, they kind of already are doing that. PlayStation Plus gets you all the good Vita games for free.
Anybody else?
I just think they need more games. They need new games.
It's totally a game thing. They could announce that Last Guardian has been ported to Vita and is coming out tomorrow.
That wouldn't save it, too. That's
I think a new IP. I think back to my thing that I talked about 2 weeks ago. I think they need a new IP that could really only be done or is first really done on Vita. It can't be. It's got to be something really new, and it's got to be risky. It's like a Hail Mary pass, but I think that's the only thing that's going to save it.
It's gonna be the game, the masturbation game I was talking about.
So what the hell is
I don't remember the name of the game, but there was on like the top 50 YouTube videos of Japan, there was this, you know, this demo of this new PS Vita game. And like
legit real game. Okay.
And
do you know,
like,
who makes it?
I don't. It's when you hear about the game, you probably won't care. So there was two videos. There was a guy and a girl playing the game, and then like on the screen, you're holding it vertically, first of all, and on the screen, like, there's this girl like with her clothes getting torn off or something like that, and like you're tapping on different parts of her body, and she's like, and then she's like,
I'm with you.
And then she's like, it's time, and then like you take your hand on the Vita, like you're holding the cock, and then you rub it up and down really fast.
What?
And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh.
You do not.
I am 100% serious.
All right. You're going to have to link to this video then. Because if you cannot remember the name on
it's fucking ridiculous.
This is a Japanese game?
This is a
real game.
What do you think, Charles? It is not. It is real. No.
What?
And these videos have been like a lot of people have.
The guy, the girl one, does the same thing.
Well, I mean, the character on screen is always a girl, but the girl there's like a girl playing the game, and yeah. she's doing it. It looks like she's masturbating.
Hey-o.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Well,
but because of those videos, that game is getting a lot of attention.
Right. I bet.
Mark, you wanted a Hail Mary pass? I believe yeah. they just did
and
it.
And it's about there, to get a lot more IP. When you link to it.
Because, well, I mean, the back, it's using the back and front touch panels and all that stuff.
As they were intended.
That's, I guess, how it's detecting the motion.
Yeah.
The lotion of the motion.
I don't know. Yeah.
So okay.
On that note, maybe we should wrap this up.
The penultimate episode of this year, I
believe.
That's
right.
Yep.
One more.
We will do our Game of the Year awards. I'm just joking.
Not.
Well, we will be back over the break. We will come in and do this.
Yes.
Stuff.
On our holiday.
You. That's right.
I'll be in California.
We don't need a Kickstarter or anything.
JJ will not be here. He will be in California, but he will be with us in spirit.
Yes.
But until then, why doesn't someone tell the nice people where they can find us?
We are on the interwebs at 8-4.jp. We are on Facebook at 84play. Come and like us. We are on Twitter at 84play or our individual Twitter accounts. I am JohnTV.
Mark MacD.
SPRSK.
Brendan Beyond.
And she in the other room is Hiroko84. Or you can find us on NeoGAF always. We love those guys. Giant Bomb, our fun loving hosts.
Yes. I reply to people on Giant Bomb.
Yep.
Yeah, they're awesome. And
every week.
I kind of want to say that's it. Oh, yeah, leave us some good reviews on iTunes. We'll start reading them again.
No,
we're only going to read 5-star reviews, but yeah.
We need to start recording not on Thursday nights.
So we don't have to rush?
Yeah, so that we can do listener feedback.
Well, our next episode we could do like in the middle of the day because we're going to be on vacation. So
that's true.
We could do a nice long one
no
for our year-end special.
Time. Yeah, 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 definitely.
Yeah. You guys have to do that while I'm gone.
You're going to miss it.
You can Skype in.
Eh, no, I can't.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Tell a friend. And until 2 weeks from now, happy holidays. And
do you like it?
いました。はい。ここかな？ここかな？うわ、まだ、あ、違う。あ、違う。